Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Monday. It is good to be back in the studio, good to be back on the show. I know it's been a long time since our last show. I think, it was Wednesday. I haven't seen you here since Wednesday. And of course, that is because I have just returned from the Groiper Leadership Summit in West Palm Beach, Florida, this weekend, which you might have seen. We streamed it live on DLive on Friday. Very eventful weekend. You know, I thought leaving Chicago that might have been the most eventful thing that would have happened in Florida. But then, of course, I got into a dust-up, a little bit of a confrontation with Ben Shapiro, Chance Encounter. And that'll be the subject. The main story of our show tonight is my confrontation with little Ben Shapiro, which happened on Friday afternoon. I think it was Friday afternoon or early evening. So we'll be talking a lot about that, everything that's gone on in the past 4 days or so, the Turning Point SAS Conference, the Groiper Leadership Summit, and the Ben Shapiro situation. So it should be a pretty eventful show. In many ways, it is a little bit of a return to form of the Groiper Wars. Of course, the show tonight is titled Groiper Wars Epilogue. And I said, as we were winding down phase one of the Groiper Wars last month, I said, you know, there would be sort of an epilogue. There would be maybe one more show, one more big finale for phase one before the new year, before the new decade, really, the 2020s. And this is it, and this is our epilogue. I thought it was a great and fun weekend. I foreshadowed it by tweeting, I think, on Thursday. I said, Turning Point USA, going to get groiped one more time before the end of the year. And I think we delivered. So it's going to be a good show. Lots to discuss about, here's a little messed up, about the events over the weekend. Very eventful. Also, of course, Christmas is coming up. Christmas is on Wednesday, which is a good thing, but it also means no America First. So I know December, we've been a little bit all over the place. Last week, we only went Monday through Wednesday. This week, it's going to be goofy again. I'm doing the show tonight, Monday, and I think I'll be doing a show on Friday as well, but Christmas Eve, Christmas, and the day after, I will not be here. So today and Friday is going to be our show, but of course, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Hope it's a good one. Remember, if you're with family, my advice to you, don't talk about politics. Don't try to red pill your relatives. Don't try to aware them about the liberty, okay, anything like that. Remember, family is the most important thing. If you learn nothing else from this show, it's that family is the most important thing. And often when you talk too much about politics or too much about our kind of politics, it can create conflict. So I know a lot of people for years, they always ask me invariably on the holidays, you know, how can I red pill grandma? How can I red pill my uncle? Don't. That's how. Just don't do it. It's not the time. It's not the place. Remember that the reason for Christmas is celebrating the birth of the Lord, the birth of Jesus Christ, the good news, save the world. Try to keep that in mind. So I hope you go to church, hope you go to Mass, hope you have a good time with your family, have dinner, talk, everything else, and don't talk about politics. It's not fun. Talk about nice things that are happening. Nice things. Talk about, you know, maybe the kids are graduating college. Talk about school, talk about, you know, whatever, just not, don't talk about the red pill, because it's a bit of a downer. You see, I've got my Christmas tie here for our unofficial Christmas episode, and I was debating before I started the show, you know, is this the Christmas episode, because it's 2 days before Christmas, or is Friday the Christmas episode, but Friday is 2 days after Christmas, so I feel like this is really more like the Christmas show. In any case, Merry Christmas. Hope it's a good one. I'm going to be with my family tomorrow, and the next day I'll be with my grandma tomorrow for Christmas Eve. She makes a great dinner every year, and it's always a great time. And then Christmas Day, we're going to be opening gifts and everything, so it's very exciting. I don't know about you guys, though, but to me, I don't feel like it's really like the Christmas spirit. Maybe it's because I've been all over the place the past 3 weeks. I've been traveling and, you know, doing political stuff. But for some reason this year, I just don't feel as much in the Christmas spirit. You know, usually you got the decorations, the music kind of gets you in a mood. But I don't know, maybe I've just been working too hard. Very possible. Working too hard this December. But I hope you have a good Christmas. We're going to move on. There's one more thing I want to talk about before we dive into the latest in the Groiper Wars. Which is, and I don't know how many of you guys have seen it, but the latest episode of Star Wars. You know, I don't know if you know this about me, but I was obsessed with Star Wars for like 10 years. Like for most of my youth, I was very into Star Wars. I was, of course, a child that grew up when the prequels were coming out, so that to me was a very big deal. And I hated the last two episodes. You know, the new sequel by Disney is terrible. Force Awakens, Last Jedi, you know, these movies, one is just worse than the other. And so I wasn't really going into this movie with high expectations. I saw it on Thursday after me and all the Groypers, after we all touched down in West Palm Beach, we all went out to see Star Wars. I forced everybody. Nobody wanted to go, but I said, it means so much to me. I love Star Wars. My expectations are not high. I didn't like the last one, but I have to see what happens. I have to see the conclusion. It's the last time you're going to see a Star Wars premiere in theaters that's within the universe of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and, you know, all that. I mean, this is the end of that 9-part series. It's self-contained. Even though they might do other Star Wars movies about other things, this is like the end of the saga. So I said, we have to go. We have to see it on Friday. It had already been spoiled for me. Rather, Thursday night. It had already been spoiled for me online. I saw what's going to happen. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was pretty lame, I have to say. My expectations weren't high. I probably met my expectations, which were very low, but it was just sort of meh, you know. And I've got something here from Vox about the movie. It says, Star Wars 9, The Rise of Skywalker, the last installment of the current trilogy that caps the original series of films, beginning with 1977's A New Hope, failed to live up to expectations of a $200 million opening box office in the U.S. and Canada this weekend. The movie, according to Box Office Mojo, made $373 million worldwide this weekend. While that was easily enough to win the weekend, that haul is lower than the first weekend grosses of the previous two Star Wars films in the current trilogy. Force Awakens made $494 million in its first weekend worldwide in 2015, and The Last Jedi grossed $438 million over the same three-day period in 2017. So, across the board, this is like the most disappointing movie, worst at the box office, worst review from the critics, from the audience, and in my own personal opinion, I don't know if it was the worst one ever, but definitely wasn't that great. I'll probably see it again, you know, for what it's worth. I saw it on opening night. I'll probably see it again. There were some cool moments in it. You know, I'll say that there's some entertainment value there. I mean, it's sort of exciting, and it is good to see all the loose ends being tied up and characters and everything. And I will say this is probably my favorite one in the trilogy so far, but the plot holes, it's just a big mess, very confusing. It's really just all over the place. So don't go to this movie with the expectation that it's redeeming the last two or anything like that. Was pretty mediocre. And it's very sad. To me, it's very sad that all these old franchises are being exhumed and they're just being destroyed. You know, it'd be one thing if they brought back old franchises and made them good or made them better. But, I mean, across the board, they dig up the corpses of all. And not like I'm one of these, like, fanboys that's really, like, deeply wounded if they make a bad movie, you know, that was, like, from my childhood. It doesn't, like, keep me up at night, but it is sort of sad to see that they trot out sort of all the old franchises, all the old characters from 50, 40 years ago, and they don't even do a good job. It's not even good, so whatever. But I had to just say something about it because, to me, I mean, this one was a little bit important. To me, you know, generally speaking, the Marvel stuff, the Ghostbusters, whatever, take it or leave it. But this one, to me, was a little bit important, and they blew it. Not like I even care, but it was very disappointing. So, you know, if you're looking for something to see, maybe on Christmas, maybe this weekend, you know, that's what you can expect. But we're going to move on from that. Kind of a bummer, but whatever. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about the Groyper Wars. Like I said, you know, we winded down Phase 1. Groyper Wars are ongoing. They're just on hiatus for now. But we winded down Phase 1 last month. And you remember, I think it might have been like 2 or 3 weeks. Actually, I think it was closer to 4 weeks that we were doing the Groyper Wars on this show in particular, where almost every night we were covering a Charlie Kirk speaking event or Ben Shapiro, Klavan, Dan Crenshaw, a lot of these characters. And we had sent people, you know, I'm giving you a refresher on something you probably already know about, but we had sent fans of the show, other internet people, to these different events to ask very pointed questions about the current state of conservatism, which, you know, we know on this show that our mission, what I seek to do on this show, is to expose the change that has taken place within the conservative establishment, that has taken place within mainstream conservatism, and also to try to overtake it, also try to change the attitude, change the direction of where we're headed, because we know that right now, conservatism, as represented by Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, all these characters, it really isn't conservative at all. I know, again, this is not groundbreaking stuff, but I'm sort of setting the stage here. So, Groyper Wars Phase 1 winded down, Charlie Kirk ended his speaking tour, the Daily Wire, Young America's Foundation speaking tour came to an end soon after. And so we reverted back to normal current events on the show. But as promised, I think I promised on the final episode when I declared total victory that we would do one more. We would do one more Groyper War show in 2019. There would be an epilogue. There would be one more big flash, one more big flashpoint, I should say, in the Groyper Wars. And that would be this Turning Point SAS conference. So every year, Turning Point USA, this organization run by Charlie Kirk, which we have been relentlessly attacking for the past month or two, they host their annual Student Action Summit, or SAS conference, in West Palm Beach, Florida, at the end of the year, around December. I think they do two major conferences. I think there's one in like the summer, and then there's this one, SAS. And they bring in people from actually all over the world. They bring in all the Turning Point ambassadors, all the chapter presidents. I think every chapter is able to bring like their own amount of kids, like 5 or 10 kids from each chapter. They even bring over people, I think, from Europe, from like the United Kingdom. They've got some Turning Point activity. Of course, they've got all the big speakers, big names. They had Donald Trump, Ted Cruz. I think Ann Coulter was there. Glenn Beck. I mean, really, they brought in some big firepower. Sean Hannity. And it's their big conference. And I said, you know, after our engagement with Charlie Kirk and his Culture War tour, I said it'd be very fitting to cap off the year, as they do, by showing up and doing a summit of our own. So we went down to West Palm Beach, Florida, and maybe many people, journalists, others, have been asking us, you know, what exactly, they would say to me, what exactly are you doing here? Because we would be hanging out outside the convention center where they were holding the conference, and people come up to me and say, oh, you know, some were friendly, some were hostile. And they'd say, well, why are you here? What are you here, just to troll? Like, that's kind of lame. You know, they say it's lame coming from Turning Point USA, these people that clap when Benny Johnson comes on the stage. Oh, really? We are the lame ones, right? But the real reason we were there was not so much to be orbiting or floating around their conference, but to host a summit of our own. And so we announced a couple of weeks ago the Groyper Leadership Summit. It was happening concurrently with the SAS conference. You know, it was in West Palm Beach. It was, I think, within a couple of miles of the convention center, obviously happening at the same time as their summit the same weekend. Unfortunately, it was very tight attendance. You know, as I said, as we were building up to our Groyper summit, we were only able to take, I can't say how many exactly, but we were only allowed to take maybe a couple dozen, 3 or 4 dozen people because, of course, it was very, very tight security. We got something like 350 or 400 applications to apply, people who wanted to come to the summit. But we could only take so many people because we were very concerned about, you know, would there be an infiltrator from Turning Point USA trying to dox everybody? Would there be an infiltrator from the left, a journalist? Would somebody find out the location? You know, and it was because of the nature of what we've been doing of this conflict that we had to have it absolutely rock solid, could not make any mistakes. You know, we had extreme vetting for everybody that came through, very heightened security protocols. If you were there, you remember we made people jump through some hoops in order to arrive there without spilling the beans on the location or maybe recording anybody. So all in all, the conference, our conference, was a big success. If you did not see what we did, it's on my DLive channel. If you go to DLive.tv/Nick J. Fuentes, if you go to replays on my channel, we streamed it live as it happened on Friday. I think it's something like an hour and a half, and we had Patrick Casey, the leader of AIM. He gave a speech. Jake Lloyd from InfoWars was there. He gave a speech, and of course, I was there. I spoke. I'm assuming probably a lot of people watching this show watched our Groyper Leadership Summit. It was a big success. And, you know, to me, this was an important moment for our movement because for the past so many months, the criticism of what we did with the Groiper Wars and going to these Charlie Kirk things was that we were only infighting with our own side. Now, granted, I think all the criticisms I'm about to lay out are illegitimate and largely leveled by boomers, leveled by Turning Point people themselves, people who are getting very defensive and upset about what we were doing. So I don't think they're legitimate, but this is what we heard. They said that, well, we're infighting. You're wasting all your time attacking your own side and not the left. You don't have your own events. You just hijack Charlie Kirk's events. Now, this was what I heard from a lot of people. As I said, I reject all those criticisms. You know, to address the infighting, that was the most popular one. You know, you're attacking people on your own side. You won't attack the left. Of course, by the very nature of the Groiper War, we have indicated that Charlie Kirk is actually not on our side. That is what we sought to expose. You know, by showing, for example, that Charlie Kirk is in favor of mass legal immigration against traditional Christian social values, that he's in favor of the Israel lobby and all that that entails, we sought to expose that actually we're not in fighting because we're not in the same movement. Charlie Kirk is a libertarian, or in some cases you could say a liberal. I think the two words are synonymous. So to address some of those criticisms, or even just for our own sake, I thought it was a pivotal moment and a great idea that we would have our own conference, we would have our own summit. You know, instead of hijacking a Charlie Kirk thing, we were going to say, this is who we are, this is our movement, we're going to give our own speeches about what we believe. You know, instead of just going after and critiquing what Charlie Kirk says and believes, we're going to go out and say things of our own and say what we actually believe. Now, this may be foreshadowing for what Phase 2 of the Groiper Wars might look like. Maybe you can extrapolate. Maybe you can draw your own conclusions about what direction we're headed in for 2020. But the idea is we've gone out and we've exposed Charlie Kirk. We've exposed Dan Crenshaw. We've exposed Ben Shapiro, and people see what they're about. They're not in favor of free speech. They're not in favor of the open marketplace of ideas. They're certainly not in favor of conservatism. And so if our answer after all of that was to show up at SAS, host our own conference with our own influencers, our own thought leaders, and that's the direction we're headed in, maybe you can imagine where we're going to take it in 2020. There's a lot coming for us in the Groiper Wars. But as I said, it was a great time, and I think if you watched our speeches on Friday, and I'm sure a lot of people that were watching from our audience, it was probably a lot of things that we had already heard before. I think me, Jake, Patrick, we tried to take it in a little bit of a different direction to show people, you know, what was really about, show people maybe the bigger picture about this conflict. But really, to me, what this summit was about was for an audience of Turning Point people. You know, really, to me, our speeches were meant for an audience of people that were probably interested in what we were really about. Because I was floating around this Turning Point SAS conference all weekend, inside the convention center, outside the convention center, around the neighborhood of where it was being held. And we ran into many Turning Point members. You know, I'll say it was very funny. I was sort of like a local celebrity. I'd be walking down the street and people would stop and I'd hear whispers, oh, that was that guy. That was that. I think that's Nick Fuentes. That was that Groiper guy. You know, some people would walk past and turn around and say, hey, oh, you're Nick Fuentes. We're big fans. Now, I will say that out of all the people that recognized me, and we got recognized on the street, when we were eating lunch, around the conference center, I mean, all over the place, just about 80 to 90% of the interactions we had were positive. Almost every single person that I saw stopped, shook my hand, took a picture. They said, either we're with you, and a lot more people are with you than you know. They said, we agree with you 100%. Or they said, I don't know if I'm totally with you. I don't even really know what you're about, they said, but we support your right to speak. We think Charlie Kirk treated you wrongly. They said, we think that everything you've been subject to, the censorship, the smears, and so on, is wrong. You know, somebody said to me, which I think was very poignant, very telling, he said, I watch your show. I think it's funny. I think it's interesting. He said, and I don't know if I'm with you on all the issues. He said, but if you're getting censored, if they're kicking you out of the conference, I just been kicked out of the convention center for the first time. He said, if you're being kicked out, that means you're asking the right questions. And so to me, that was very white-pilling. That was very encouraging to see that even in the belly of the beast of Conservative Inc., where all these students are coming from across the country to essentially be conditioned by Charlie Kirk and Benny Johnson and the socialism sucks and big gov sucks and all this, If most of the reaction to my presence was either curiosity, sympathy, or outright agreement, I think that shows you where Generation Z is. It also shows you that our tactics are working. That's why they don't like what we're doing. You know, in case you haven't noticed, over the last month, there's been a lot of attacks against me from the conventional people, from the usual suspects, you know, from Ben Shapiro, from Charlie Kirk, from Turning Point allies and proxies and so on, from the left, you know, people calling me a white nationalist, but also across the board. I mean, I'm getting attacked from everybody lately. And I think you know why that is. It's because what we're doing is having a devastating effect on the mainstream. You know, somebody said last week, and I had never heard this before, but it was so good, you get the most flack when you're over the target. You know, when you think about World War II, a bomber, you know, or I guess in any conflict, a bomber is flying overhead. They get the most attacks. They get the most counterfire when they're directly over the target. In other words, when they're doing the most damage, when they're above what is most vulnerable. And I think that explains their situation very well. I don't know if that's like a very common expression, but I had heard it for the first time last week. But it's so true. We are over the target. Our tactics are having a devastating effect. At the bare minimum, we're getting our ideas out there. We're getting our names out there. You know, me, Patrick, Jake, Scott, you know, Columbia Bugle, Steve Franson, all these guys, Vince James. We're getting the America First ideas out there, the brand, everything. But beyond that, we are really winning over hearts and minds because, I mean, we go there and we demonstrate what is wrong with Conservative Inc. by getting thrown out. So we were getting a great reaction there from everybody, and that's really why we did the Groyper Leadership Summit. I mean, on some level it was to gather the Groypers, and we had a lot of the Groypers who asked questions during the actual events present at the party. I don't want to name names in particular because I don't want to dox anybody, but we had all the Groyper generals, a lot of the question askers. It was a really great sort of bonding, brotherly moment. And I know, and I'll address this very briefly before I move on, but you know, a lot of people made a big stink about this summit when we first announced it. I'm not going to name any names, but I think you know who I'm talking about. A lot of people made a big stink about our summit from our own side. Our summit went relatively unnoticed by like the left wing or even from Turning Point USA. I don't think they wanted to draw too much attention to it because, of course, they have their own thing going on. But when we first announced it, we got a lot of criticism from our own side. I think a lot of it fake, a lot of it astroturfed or ill-intentioned. But people saying, don't go to IRL conferences, you're going to get doxxed, you're going to get your... Somebody texted me, you're going to get the person I'm talking about, you're ruining lives, how do you feel about ruining lives, and don't go, this is unacceptable, and there's a lot of scaremongering about our conference. I can't help but wonder if that was coming from the other side, but in some sort of subversive fashion. I know there's a lot of connections between Charlie Kirk and some of these people, you know, through tech people, billionaire tech people, again, trying not to name too many names, but it was a little bit conspicuous that there was this big scaremongering about going to these events, and it went off without a hitch. It went off beautifully. You know, it was me and Patrick mostly who made sure that everything went through without a hitch, and it was fine. You know, we've hosted many events over the course of this year. We did an event in Miami recently. We did a lot of secret conferences. And so having learned so much, gaining so much experience in the past year or 2 years, we were able to make sure that really everything, every contingency was accounted for. So, you know, in the future, we're going to be holding more events. We're going to do one at CPAC. We're going to do maybe some more events in the springtime. You know, don't want to spoil too much there. But, you know, just so everybody knows, I said 3 weeks ago, everybody that's criticizing us is going to look like a big idiot, basically. They're going to make fools out of themselves, discredit themselves. When we pull off a great event and nobody is harmed and everything goes smoothly. And that's exactly what happened. You know, everybody went, they had a great time. And I told people, if you don't go, you're going to get that FOMO. You're going to get the fear of missing out feeling. And I think people did because we had a great time. We had snacks. We had speeches. You know, it was really a lot of fun. We added this really big mansion. There was a pool. It was incredible. So that was the Groyper Leadership Summit. You know, congratulations to everybody, you know, who was involved, who pulled it off. Myself included. Thanks to everybody that came. But to me, the bigger scenario, the bigger situation was the SAS conference, of course. And I'll tell you a little bit about my experience there. I went there on Thursday. You know, I arrived in West Palm Beach on Thursday. It was actually funny, on my flight to West Palm Beach, there was Jack Posobiec and the Hodge twins. I was standing at my gate ready to board the plane. You know, they're calling out all the different groups and so on. And I had just eaten a bowl of soup. Okay, so I was eating a bowl of soup in the airport, and next to me, there was this morbidly obese woman. This is so important. She had a slice of pizza, and then she bought with her lunch a box of gummy bears. I had to like move my chair. I had to be like all the way tucked into my table so she could slip through. And she's eating a personal pizza, not a slice, a personal pizza and a box of gummy bears. I'm thinking, who does that? Who eats a box of gummy bears with their lunch? I mean, I understand if you're snacking on gummy bears, I guess, on the plane or at a movie or at home. But who goes and orders at the, oh, I'll have a personal pizza, Diet Coke, and I'll get the large box of gummy bears. You know, sits down, devours a personal pizza, and then I'm thinking, you know, what's going on with that? You really need to, you know, think through some of your choices. Anyway, so I just completed that meal. I'm thinking, what's going on with that? I'm literally tweeting about it on my phone. And then I overhear somebody talking behind me saying, oh, they're just shitposting about Trump. I hear shitpost, I hear Trump, I hear a few other keywords. I start to pick up, I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's a groiper behind me, maybe there's somebody, obviously somebody going to this Turning Point conference. And I turn around, I kid you not, like 3 feet away from me is Jack Posobiec. And I was just like, oh, I don't think he lives in Chicago, but for some reason he was there, maybe it was a connecting flight. I was like, hey, like, what's going on? He was on the phone. And it was like, oh, hey, and then I just turned around and went about my business. Anyway, it's just kind of funny. But so I get to Florida, I get situated, you know, we put all our stuff at the Airbnb. And then I went to the SAS conference. And I walked into the lobby, you know, they have it at the West Palm Beach Convention Center. It's this huge, you know, it's a convention center. And so I step into the lobby where they've got all kinds of booths, you know, where it's ticketing and everything. I'm not even actually in the conference yet. I'm just in the lobby of the convention center where they're doing the ticketing and all these activities. And so I kid you not, I start up, and you might have seen it, I started up a Periscope stream, and I said, hey, we're about to walk into the convention center. I'm here at SAS. We're going to see what happens. I walk through the door, and immediately walking through the door, I'm swarmed. Like, not I walked 50 feet, not like I walked into the common area. I passed through the doorway, and maybe like 25, 30 people all come up, oh, hey, are you that guy? Are you, you know, and so there's a crowd forming. Within 5 minutes, I got kicked out by police. It was less than 5 minutes. If you saw the stream, I walked in shaking hands. Oh, hey, good to see you. Great to, I think I saw you from Twitter, whatever. What are you about? Oh, this is what we're doing. And some security, you see all the people behind these booths who are manning the ticketing, they start flipping out. They start, you know, they're looking around, they're hustling across the table, they're on their earpieces. I start to see a crowd, well, not a crowd, but I see a number of police and security begin to assemble away. A couple of cops, some conference security, some big tall guy comes in and apprehends me and says, hey, so what are you doing here? I said, oh, hey, you know, I'm Nick, you know, I'm just here to see what's going on. He's like, oh, are you attending the event? I said, no, I don't have a ticket. I just want to see what's happening in the lobby. He's like, where are you from? You know, he's just asking all these personal questions, trying to intimidate me or something. I'm like, oh, I'm from Chicago, you know, whatever. He goes, well, come with me for a second. I'm like, yeah, great, okay. And so he takes me to the police and he explains to the police officer. And by the way, it was fascinating. It was really symptomatic of the conference. You had, you know, oh, I can't even, damn it, community guidelines. I was going to say some choice words, but there was a female police officer with very short hair. I'll just, you know, community guidelines. We can't make fun of appearances, sexual orientation. Okay, but she had, it was a girl with very, very short hair. Let's put it that way. Officer, somebody. And then you had a black officer. So he goes over. It's very telling. I can't, you know, unfortunately can't say much more than that. These community guidelines on YouTube, they got my hands tied here. I want to say it, but I can't. So he takes me to these two police officers and he tells them verbatim, we've got a gentleman here who is agitating. Yeah, just by his mere, this is what he says, by his mere presence in the lobby, he is agitating. I was agitating, apparently. I walked through the door, hey, how's it going? That constituted agitation or something like that. She's causing a disturbance. So the police says, you want me to remove him from the premises? He says, yes. Now, earlier, the guy had said, we're going to have to ask you to leave the conference. I said, the conference or the convention center? He's like, the conference. I'm like, okay, so I'm in the lobby right now. Do I need to leave the lobby? Because I have no intention of going in there. Do I need to leave the lobby? He's like, no, you can't go into the conference. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm not in the conference. That didn't matter. The police kicked me out. Some of the police were very rude. Some were nice. Some were rude. You know, this black officer shows me out. I'm like, yeah, so can I be on the sidewalk? And he's like, no, you keep moving. Keep moving. I said, yeah. I said, let's take it easy, big guy. I said, do I have to go to the sidewalk or can I be here? Anyway, so I got kicked out in 5 minutes. You know, people swarmed outside. They said, what was that all about? I explained the situation, which is pretty incredible. You know, everybody's been saying to me, I've heard from some boomers and from some Turning Point people that we're only there to sabotage these events. We're only there to agitate, as the security guard said. We're only there to cause trouble, disrupt, and so on. They don't really want to have a debate. They don't really want to have a conversation. And I know it's a dead horse at this point, but it's just so transparent what these people are about, that none of us were even allowed into the lobby, you know, let alone in the conference, let alone a debate. I mean, anything like that wouldn't even let us into the lobby of the event, lest we start talking to people about America First. I would understand it, and some people have said this, I would understand if I came through the front door with like a megaphone or a bullhorn, and I was screaming, you know, if I went to the lobby and started ripping my clothes off, and I had painted on my chest, like, fuck Charlie Kirk, you know, I would understand if it was some, like, big display, you know, if I came in and started making a mess, if I came in with, like, an army of groypers, like, I would understand that. But, I mean, it was literally walk through the door, said hi to a few people, kicked out within 3 minutes, you know? So, to me, that was pretty crazy. A few days later, this was on Saturday evening, you might have seen this one on Twitter as well, I came back to the convention center after Donald Trump had spoken, and I literally was walking on the, it was still on the convention center property, but it was directly outside the door. I was walking on the sidewalk. It was in between, you know, you have that little, I don't know what you call that, where people can drive around. You've got the sidewalk, and then you've got sort of like the interior sidewalk. So I was walking there, and again, not making a scene, not starting anything, but people started to recognize me. Oh, you Nick Fuentes? Crowd immediately forms around, like 50 people this time, a big crowd. And it was actually interesting that time because the crowd starts to form and I'm talking to people, whatever. And I don't know if this was on film, but this was just so perfect. Everything just falls right into place. And you want to know why it does? It's because our worldview is correct. And I'll tell you what I mean by this. We form this big crowd. I'm talking to people. I'm interfacing with the masses. And this short and very stout little Jewish woman comes barging through the crowd. And she says, oh, are you the one that denies the Holocaust? Oh, are you the one that hates Jews and hates Israel? Very nasally, obnoxious voice. This short, huge little... She later told us she was Jewish. I'm not just, you know, making assumptions here. But she's, you know, clears the crowd. Oh, hey, are you the one that hates Israel? Are you the one that hates Jews? Real shitty attitude. And I go, no, I don't hate Israel, blah, blah, blah. You know, we go back and forth a little bit. Then I guess her husband or something, some big fat, another Jewish guy comes in and says, I'm Jewish. But I'm also a Catholic convert. He says, so as a fellow Catholic, what do you think? We have to be careful about hate and our message, and I just think you need to be careful and so on. And I'm thinking, like, this is so... when I say everything falls into place for us, it's because our worldview is right, okay? Everything we say is right, for lack of a better word. Do you think it's just a big coincidence that we form this crowd and, you know, this person comes barging in, belligerent, obnoxious, all about me. Hey, wait a second, aren't you the one that hates Jews, you know? So it's like, oh, well, shocker, big surprise, you know? So she comes in, and then another guy, well, you have a problem with the Jews. Well, I'm actually Catholic, and as a fellow Catholic, you know, what do you think? And I'm thinking, this is perfect. And what was amazing was the audience response. This, to me, is the white pill. When I say, trust the plan, we know what we're doing, this is what I'm getting at. You know, she's attacking me. I'm diffusing everything she says. She says, so what's your problem with Israel? I said, I wish they'd stop spying on us. I wish they would stop blowing up our ships, selling our military tech to China. You know, I start to get into it. She goes, do you have an iPhone? I go, yeah. She goes, well, your iPhone is made in Israel. I go, okay. So can Israel stop spying on us? You know, and everybody's like, yeah, yeah. They start bringing up the Holocaust. She says, well, you know, if you guys keep doing this, another Holocaust is going to happen. Everybody's like, oh, come on, come on. Even I go, oh, really, you know? So the dialectic is moving in the right place. So all this is happening. A police officer actually comes up, pulls aside the big Catholic guy, pulls him aside, And he thinks that he's Nick Fuentes. You know, these people, just to give an idea, these people are so obnoxious. They make it so much about themselves, this guy in particular, that they assume that he's me because he's the one that's trying to dominate, lord over the conversation. Then they point out it's me. Police take me aside. Another real dick police. I mean, some of them were nice, but this guy was a real dick. He pulls me aside. He says, were you trespassed from here the other day? I said, was I trespassed? I said, what does that mean? I said, was I trespassing? Was I here? I said, trespass? What are you talking about? He's like, well, answer the question. I said, no, I'm asking you what you mean. What does that mean? He goes, it's a very straightforward question. You know, I said, you got a real attitude. I said, but so the police officer talks to me, the old security guard who had apprehended me, the one who asked me all these questions. He came over as a representative from the conference. They have like six police officers surrounding me. They tell me, so the conference people have told us to remove you. We're going to issue you. People had misreported this. Some journalists said I was issued a citation. Some people said I was arrested. I wasn't arrested. I wasn't given a citation. In Florida, I guess they have to issue you a no trespass warning. They have to put it in writing that they don't want you somewhere. And then if you violate that, then it's like a misdemeanor or whatever. They can arrest you. So they issued me. They wrote down this piece of paper. And it was great because they pull me aside. And as all this is going on, they've got cop cards. A much bigger crowd forms watching this whole display. And everybody's thinking, this is bullshit. That's not free speech. I thought we were in favor of the open dialogue, so on. So it's perfect optics. They take me over by the cop car to sign this piece of paper, you know, okay, yes, I understand, I won't come here tomorrow, whatever. And the big turning point security guard comes over, I go, hey, that's my best friend from the other day. This is the guy that showed me out on Thursday. And as I say that, the whole crowd starts chanting, America first, America first, as I'm signing this no trespass warning. And I look over at big douchebag turning point security guard, and I look at him in the eye, and I say, hey, thanks a lot, by the way. This is really great for me. He rolls his eyes. He's got one AirPod in his ear and he looks away. And I'm thinking, you know, the lesson from all of this to me is that our tactics at this point are just so far ahead. We are like 10 steps ahead of these people when it comes to these political tactics. How long has this thing been going on? 2 or 3 months? I know it's nothing new. They're against free speech. They're not conservative. All this. They're going to remove you from the conferences. This is what happened at Politicon. So it does drive the point home. It does show you, it does show more people what's transpiring between me and Charlie Kirk. Obviously, it's more publicity. But beyond that, I think what this shows to me is that it's been 3 months and they still haven't figured it out. You know, they still have not, excuse me. They still have not written a new playbook or gotten new plays for how to deal with this stuff. And think about it, it's really hard for us to lose. Because if I walk into the Turning Point SAS conference and I'm shaking hands and I'm taking pictures and a crowd is forming around me, well, I win, right? I mean, I win by virtue of being there, taking attention away from Charlie Kirk. And you know, it's not just about me, but my ideas, right? And we're spreading our ideas and it's bringing more attention to our cause and our movement. Well, of course, and I win if they allow me inside. If they allow me to buy a ticket, they ignore me, they don't send police, well, then it's a victory for me. Maybe we even get into the Q&A, we ask our questions, and we show that they're not conservatives. I win. If they don't let me in the conference, they kick me out, well, they have to make a big scene. They have to get police, they have to do no trespass, whatever. It's in a big public demonstration. If they kick me out, it turns into a big thing. People are periscoping it, they're live streaming it, I win. So there's really no way, and I don't think they figured out any kind of a way where they can solve this. And to me, this bodes so well, because look at what we have been able to do in the past 3 months with no funding. You know, understand, this entire Groiper Leadership Summit was self-funded. You know, I paid for my own ticket. I paid for my own Airbnb. We raised a little bit of money at the Groiper to pay for the mansion that we were at for the Groiper Leadership Summit, and we had to pay for a podium and like food and a few other things. But I mean, we're talking like maybe $1,000 that we raised to put on this, I mean, very small summit. We're going up against people that have millions and, I mean, multi-million dollar organization we're going up against. Charlie Kirk raised $5 million on Thursday. $5 million on Thursday alone from Foster Freeze, from one donor on one day. That's where we're going up against. A convention center with 5,000 people. Something like, I think it might have been 4,000 people in attendance. Flying people in from all over the world. They got the president to speak there. The biggest names, the biggest influencers, the biggest donors. the biggest convention center. And we go there, and what's the top trending thing in the country on Friday and Saturday? Nick Fuentes, right? And what is everybody talking about from what I heard in all these parties and everything? They have Ben Shapiro at the Turning Point Ball, and they've got all these parties. Everybody's talking about Groiper Wars. They're talking about America First. And so this just goes to show the potential for the America First insurgency. This is what we're able to do with no money. And we're able to get all the momentum, all the attention, all the energy. Imagine if we had a little bit of funding. Yeah, and even if we don't, I mean, this is the momentum we have. It's better than they do. And we're on no funding. You know, so to me, that was pretty incredible. And even better than that is how you can measure that. They might have had, they said they had thousands of people come to this conference. Let's say it's 5,000. I think I used that figure a moment ago. I don't think they had 5,000 people, but I think that's probably like safe to say that that would be like the maximum amount of people that they could get to something like this. It was probably more like 2,000 or 3,000. They couldn't get more than 800 people to watch their live stream at any given moment. I tune into their live stream of their conference on Periscope. At any given time, it was around 300, 400, 500 live concurrent viewers, maxed out at 700 when the President of the United States was speaking there. So if you take their concurrent live viewership online and you add to it the viewership of the people in attendance, you get the 2,000 to 3,000 attendees plus the 700 people watching live at home. Let's even say it's better than that. At the end of one of the live streams, I saw that they had accumulated 7,000 viewers in total. So at any given time, they might have 400 people watching, unique people watching all at that one moment concurrently. But after the conclusion of it, they had 7,000 unique people viewing the stream in its entirety. So let's say it's 7,000 people and watching the Periscope stream and 3,000 people that were watching live in the auditorium. We had 11,000 live viewers at the Groiper Leadership Summit. So including all the people who watched their Periscope stream, including all the thousands of people that they flew out to their conference, we had a larger concurrent viewership on DLive. You know, Charlie Kirk tweeted out the link for his stream on Twitter to his 1 million followers. We had our stream on DLive, which is one of the smaller streaming platforms. You know, I think I've got 18,000 followers on there for context. And we had 11,000 concurrent viewers. What does that tell you about the future of this movement? You know, so a lot of people are saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I should go all in on America First. I don't know where, is this going to work? Are we going to win? Whatever. This is our momentum. This is what is possible, given that they've got probably tens of millions of dollars doing these huge things, and this is us on no money. That's the comparison, right? But so that was the Turning Point SAS conference. It was very fun. Of course, I always go there. I have a great time. The big interaction, however, to get to our featured story, I know I've kind of been going on and rambling a little bit about the conference, but to get to our big featured story is the confrontation with Ben Shapiro, which, you know, this happened a little bit before the Groiper Leadership Summit on Friday. I was outside. It was all a very chance encounter. I had just eaten lunch with Jake Lloyd and Jaden. We had burgers at BurgerFi. We encountered some real nasty people inside. These two girls and this guy came up to our table, and it's like we had just gotten our food. We just sat down to eat, and this girl's like, so why do you have a problem with mixed marriages? And I'm like, oh, like I just want to eat my fucking hamburger. And I got this dumb broad asking me about politics. I got to explain to her, you know, why race matters and race is real and so on. Okay, so I put down my hamburger. Well, you know, you see, that's not even really one of my major beliefs. It's just my personal belief. I'm not in favor of race mixing, blah, blah, blah. And they're giving me such a hard time. So didn't you say this? What about this? Whatever. I'm like, oh, so what are you going to do? You're going to fucking shoot me? You know, are you going to put a gun in my head and say, have to be in a mixed marriage? Like, why does this matter? Can I eat my, you know, cheeseburger in peace? Anyway, so they leave. We get harassed. Some like Mexican guy. Well, he's leaving. He sits down. He's eating next to us for like 45 minutes. He's eating at the table next to us. He gets up to leave, and as he's walking out the door, he yells out something completely unintelligible, not even looking at us, heads out the door. I go to Jake. I said, what did he just say? He says, have fun at your Klan meeting later tonight or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So we did get heckled. Those are the only two times we got heckled. We got a lot of people coming up to get pictures in the BurgerFi. You know, some black kid incidentally comes up and says, I'm a huge fan, can I get a picture? And it was great to meet him. He was with somebody else. There were a few other people in the restaurant. Anyway, so we just got done eating lunch. We're heading back to our Airbnb. We're heading back to our place. And we run into Elijah Schaefer and Andy Ngo. You might remember Elijah Schaefer. He goes by Slightly Offensive on YouTube. He interviewed me a couple of times. A lot of you guys didn't like it. You thought he was like mean to me or something. Anyway, he happened to be live streaming with Andy Ngo on the street corner. Like, we just intercepted him. He's on the corner between the convention center and the Hilton Hotel next to it, where everybody's staying. He's like, oh, it's Nick, you know, so we shake hands, whatever. And, you know, we're like, we gotta go. But he's like, well, can you answer some questions? I said, sure. So we talk a little bit, and he's asking me about the Groiper Wars and about Charlie Kirk and about Israel and all this and the crowd forms and people are getting involved, whatever. And while this is going on, it's a great moment. I'm like red-pilling this black guy named Spencer who happened to show up, and I guess he's got a podcast. We're having a great conversation with him, with Elijah, with Andy. Andy Ngo, who I don't really know what to think about him, but I mean, I guess he was honest enough. He was uploading footage from the interview, but at one point he was like, so how are you not a fascist? I'm like, well, you know, that's really not a fair question. He asks me, aren't you a militant ethno-nationalist? I'm like, I have never described myself as an ethno-nationalist, let alone militant. I've always disavowed violence. Anyway, he asks me, didn't you say we need to establish a white ethno-state by any means necessary? I'm like, are you confused? Are you confusing me with somebody else? Yeah, you must not watch my show. Anyway, so this is going on. And then we turn, and who's across the street at the median? Elijah Schaefer taps me on the shoulder. He says, that's Ben Shapiro crossing the street. Ben Shapiro is across, he's at the median, it's this busy intersection, and he's got a stroller with his two kids and his wife, and I'm like, no way that's him. He's like this little guy with a baseball hat, he's just in a very unassuming outfit, jeans, sweatshirt, probably sort of like incognito. I don't know, by the way, this guy's like a multi-millionaire, Ben Shapiro. What is he doing, like, just walking around like this with his family, walking across this busy intersection? It's like they're putting you up at the Hilton Hotel. They couldn't get you, like, a Uber black car from the airport, drop you off in front of the place. Like, I don't know why he decided to do that. It's a little bit fishy. Like, and I understand people might want to walk around or whatever, but it's like he's walking around with the wife and kids, right? And just where you got all this stuff going on, it's this big fray, there's this big scrum in front of the, on the corner, right? So you gotta wonder, like, why he was even out and about. You would think somebody like that, pretty high-profile guy, who's always complaining about anti-Semitic attacks and threats and so on, and his privacy and all this, what's he doing just walking around, right? I mean, it was a little confusing. But anyway, I think he also had security with him. But in any case, he's walking across the street, and Elijah says, well, that's Ben Shapiro. So I go up to him. And what's amazing is before he crosses, he takes his kid out of the stroller and puts the kid on his arm, ushers his wife over. He's walking across the street. And I said, hey, Ben, verbatim. I said, hey, Ben, it's great to see you. Why did you give a 45-minute speech about me at Stanford? And now, and he walks right past me. Now you won't even look at me in the face. You won't even look me in the eyes. I said, oh, well, there you have it. I go, that's your free speech guy. I said, what did I say? I said, I know you're with your family right now. I said, but I can't get you anywhere else. You give a 45-minute speech about me. You won't engage with me. I go, ah, whatever. I go to the crowd. I said, that's your champion in the marketplace of ideas, whatever. Now, I think nothing of this. You know, I continue on with the interview. Some, like, short, stout little woman is like, you're not even relevant, whatever. I'm like, ah, get out of my face, fatty. You know, I talk to the rest of the people. We go on for, like, another hour having a conversation. I check my phone later, and there's all this outrage. Andy Ngo posts the clip on Twitter, and now everybody's up in arms. Nick Fuentes harasses Ben Shapiro's family. Nick Fuentes accosts Ben Shapiro's family. Nick Fuentes attacks Ben Shapiro and his family. It was like a 10-15 second interaction, and everything I just told you is exactly what I said to him. You can watch the clip. I said, hey, Ben, it's great to see you. I said, you give a 45-minute speech about me at Stanford. Now you won't even look at me. Oh, well, that's your champion. I said, I know you're with your family. I can't get you anywhere else. Nick Fuentes accosts family, attacks family in public. Nick Fuentes ambushes Ben Shapiro. They make it out like I was sitting there in waiting, like I had gotten his coordinates. I got his location, and I was sitting there with my stream ready. Ah, there he is. Those are his kids. They act like I was cussing, screaming, jumping up and down like I attacked his wife, something like that. But you watch the clip. And by the way, it's like everybody, Megyn Kelly, Meghan McCain, Nikki Haley, like some of these big people are, oh, this guy's out of control. This guy's terrible. It's like, I didn't block his path. I didn't get close to him at all, not even close to a threatening distance. They were saying Nick was with his posse. The people behind me were not my posse. It was like bystanders and people filming it because I had happened to have a scrum around me when we started, right? So it's not like I was there with the Groiper army. It was just passerbys because it was me and Ben Shapiro on the same street corner, right? So like, oh, Nick Fuentes ambushes Shapiro with his crowd. It's like it was me and my two friends. Shapiro happens to be crossing incidentally. Oh, hey, you know, hey, good to see you. Why did you give a 45-minute speech about me calling me a neo-Nazi? Passes by. Everybody's trying bloody murder. You know, I didn't pursue him. I didn't attack him, didn't address the kids, wasn't vulgar anyway. This is what they wrote about in Fox News about it. Fox News writes an article. The headline is, Nick Fuentes fires back at Nikki Haley, Meghan McCain, and others over Ben Shapiro confrontation. It says, far-right activist Nick Fuentes fired back at Nikki Haley, Meghan McCain, and other critics Saturday after they slammed Fuentes for confronting writer Ben Shapiro on Friday while Shapiro was walking by with his wife and children. The Friday incident in Florida near the site of the Turning Point USA conference where President Trump spoke Saturday also drew comments from Megyn Kelly, Michael Avenatti, and Sebastian Gorka, among others. But on Saturday, the 21-year-old Fuentes, host of the America First podcast, was unapologetic in his response. He said, quote, "It's great to see the four most dishonest media hacks in contemporary politics put aside their differences and come together in defense of civility. Yeah, that or maybe there's an ulterior motive here. I see four never Trumpers that have an axe to grind with America First." And the people I was referring to is Michael Avenatti, Megyn Kelly, Meghan McCain, and Ben Shapiro. It says Fuentes was outside talking with conservative writer Andy Ngo and a small group of others when the Shapiro family walked past them. Fuentes spotted Shapiro and walked toward him. He said, quote, "Why did you give a 45-minute speech about me at Stanford and you won't even look in my direction? Come on, I'm right here." Shapiro continues to walk away without acknowledging Fuentes. He says, "Wow, well, that's our free speech for you, everybody," he says to onlookers. This is the encounter that everybody's been out of shape about. It says, last Friday, Fuentes accused Shapiro of using his family as human shields. He says, quote, "I guess Ben Shapiro is only against the use of human shields when the Palestinians do it." Fuentes wrote in another tweet, quote, "Ben Shapiro gave a 45-minute speech defaming me as a neo-Nazi, trying to destroy my reputation, and that's okay. But when I call him out in the presence of his family, incidentally, well, that's just not civil. Oh, please, you neocons have blood on your hands. Let's stop pretending." And then Fox gives a lot of background info about Charlottesville and Holocaust denier and all this, which is pretty unnecessary. It says, responding to Saturday's video, Nikki Haley, which is, Nikki Haley's the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. She writes that if Fuentes had a beef with Shapiro, he chose the wrong way to express it. She writes, "This is a perfect example of what not to do unless you just are trying to get attention. Confronting someone with their kids and family with cameras is wrong on every level. Do better next time. There are better ways to get your point across. This wasn't it." Fuentes quickly responded, accusing Haley of lecturing him. He said, quote, "Another lying, never Trump neocon lecturing me about decorum. Almost everything about you and what you stand for is a lesson in what not to do for decent people. Pushing more deadly wars in the Middle East based on lies is wrong on every level. Actually, way worse than my words." Fuentes added in another tweet, "Remember when Nikki Haley said that Donald Trump inspired the Dylann Roof massacre in South Carolina? I remember. Everyone making such a big deal out of this just happens to have a long record of being a disgusting, fake, conservative liar. Must be a coincidence. Be better, Nimrata." That's, you know, Nikki Haley's first name. Previously, others weighed in on the Fuentes confrontation. Meghan McCain said, quote, "Not only is this sick, but it accomplished absolutely nothing except possibly traumatizing Ben Shapiro's children. He's walking with his pregnant wife and kids, accosting them like this is repulsive." Accosting, traumatizing. Megyn Kelly said, quote, "Ben Shapiro handling himself beautifully despite nasty provocation in front of his children. Not easy to maintain one's dignity while under this kind of attack, but as usual, Ben manages it." Oh, bravo, Ben. Michael Avenatti says, "I'm no fan of Ben Shapiro, as everyone knows, but Nick Fuentes, you are a punk. You don't confront a man in public when he is with his family and young kids. You are very fortunate your stunt ended the way it did," which is very much in line. A lot of boomers, the boomer army was in my mentions. "Rob, if you attacked me, you would have been going to a dentist. Ah, if you approached me like that, you'd be in an ambulance." You know, all these big tough guys, right? The article says, Sebastian Gorga added, "This Nick Fuentes git is more pathetic than the most snowflakey snowflake." But some commenters backed Fuentes. Joshua Foxworth, a Marine Corps veteran running for Congress in Texas, said, quote, "I have watched Ben Shapiro for years. He has a consistent pattern of using his platform to attack opponents, and then if opponents dare to defend themselves, they are slandered for being unprofessional. He and allies did this with real Donald Trump." On Saturday evening, photos and video posted on social media showed Fuentes, being detained by police outside the TPUSA conference site. In one video, onlookers chant "America first" as Fuentes talks with the police. So that is what happened over the weekend, and you know, just a few things on this. In the first place, look at everybody that's involved in this. To me, somebody actually, Drew Groyper, sent me a very nice Christmas card. It was very, very nice. I have to text him about it, but it's been sort of, I've been sleeping all day because I was catching up on some sleep from over the weekend. But in any case, he sent me a very long note in his Christmas card. And one of the things he said is that, which I think is so true, he said that with me more than anybody else, you can tell who is on the right side of history by who hates you and who likes you. And I think nowhere is this clearer than in this incident, right? I mean, I think nowhere is this more prescient than in this incident, where who comes from across the conservative ecosystem to attack me over this incident, to cry bloody murder and clutch pearls about being accosted? Well, it's Meghan McCain, daughter of John McCain, which these people are disgusting. Meghan McCain is physically disgusting, you know, physically repulsive. And also, she's the son of John McCain. I mean, these people are evil. These people are neocon warmongers. They are both in favor of the war in Iraq. And Meghan McCain, more than anybody, she's the biggest drama queen on television. Every week it's something with Donald Trump. He said something about my father, and that's terrible. Donald Trump did this, and that's so horrible. Where does the moral high ground come from? More on that in a moment. So you got Meghan McCain, who's, you know, she's barely even a conservative. You got Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly was the biggest thing on Fox News until she wanted to play daytime talk show host, until she wanted to be a big celebrity on NBC, and everybody remembers what she did to Donald Trump in 2016, right? You've called women pigs, dogs, disgusting slobs, whatever, and tried to sabotage Trump, I think at the behest of Roger Ailes or somebody. You've got Michael Avenatti, okay, need I say more, and you've got Ben Shapiro. What do all these people have in common? They're all liars. They're all liars. They're all neocons. They're all fake conservatives. Michael Avenatti's not a conservative, obviously, but, I mean, the rest are. They all hate Donald Trump. Meghan McCain hates Donald Trump. Megyn Kelly tried to sabotage Donald Trump. Ben Shapiro hates Donald Trump. And in Ben Shapiro's case in particular, what did he do in 2016? Well, he quit Breitbart. Remember that whole incident? Why did he quit Breitbart? Because of Michelle Fields. Anybody remember what happened to Michelle Fields, that Breitbart journalist who tried to get a question in with Donald Trump, and she got physically assaulted by Corey Lewandowski? That was the claim. She claimed that Corey Lewandowski grabbed her and threw her to the ground. And you saw the clip. He gently moves her out of the way. Ben Shapiro resigned over that in 2016. He said, "I can no longer work at Breitbart. Breitbart is Pravda for Donald Trump, because they won't even defend their own journalists who are being beaten by Trumpian thugs." You know, this big dramatic statement and quit. You know, so with all these people, they're all liars. They all hate Donald Trump and what he represents, what we represent. They all are liars, right? Did I just say that? Liars, never Trumpers, fake conservatives. And in Ben Shapiro's case in particular, he's got a history of making a big deal out of nothing. You know, so that's in the first place, is who's rallying behind this guy? Well, it's all the usual suspects. Nikki Haley. Now, the second part is, oh, they're really upset about the family and kids thing. Well, I confronted Ben Shapiro in front of his family and kids, and that was such a no-no. Well, let's say that has any legitimacy to begin with. Let's say it really was uncouth. Let's say, for the sake of this example, that it was really inappropriate. It was really rude. It was uncalled for. Whatever you want to say. It was not civil for me to confront him like that in front of his family. Let's just say that for the sake of this example. Well, how about Nikki Haley? Nikki Haley's in favor of war with Syria. She's in favor of bombing children in Syria. She's in favor of war with Iran, bombing Iran. Ben Shapiro, another guy in favor of war with Iraq, in favor of war with Iran. Ben Shapiro's in favor of ethnic cleansing. That's what he said in 2003. He said, we need to transfer the Palestinian population out of Israel. We have to bulldoze their homes and ship them back to Palestine. Meghan McCain, Megyn Kelly, I mean, very similar views with them as well. So these are people that advocate for war. These are people that advocate for, you know, indirectly, the death of families and children. But because I came up to Ben Shapiro and, you know, again, even if it wasn't appropriate, called him out, Well, that's beyond the pale. You know, Ben Shapiro in 2003 says we should bulldoze Palestinian homes, ethnically cleanse Palestine. Well, that... Well, he said he was sorry. You know, 7 years later, he said, I made a mistake. He didn't call that in the intervening 7 years when he had not apologized for that, when that was his official position. But that's, but that never gets mentioned. Nobody ever brings that up. He's a moral, upstanding. Like Megyn Kelly says, he always handles himself so well. But I'm the bad guy, right? Nikki Haley wants to bomb Syria, wants to destroy the Middle East, wants more dead babies. Oh, but I confronted Ben Shapiro in front of his kids. Hey, that's not cool, bro. Be better. You said, Ben Shapiro, nice to meet you, in front of his kids. Oh, they're going to be traumatized for years. And that leads me to the other point, which is really Meghan McCain traumatized the kids. It costed him. You know, all the hullabaloo. Oh, he attacked his family, whatever. If you watch the video, it's a 10-second interaction. As I said, I maintained healthy distance, did not pursue, didn't address anybody involved. It'd be one thing if I got up in his wife's face, was like, hey, what do you think about your husband? I said, hey, Ben, it's nice to see you. You give a 45-minute speech about me, and this is to the point. This little guy, Ben Shapiro, 2 months ago or 1 month ago, gave a 45-minute speech about me at Stanford University. That's what I'm talking about in the video. He was on his college tour. This was at the height of Groyper Wars. He gave a speech at Stanford, 45-minute speech, reading out everything I've ever wrote that's inappropriate. And he, you know, people say, oh, the speech wasn't about you. He read my old Facebook posts. He read excerpts from private, secretly recorded conversations. He read off clips from shows that are over 2 years old. He read my old Twitter posts. He addressed all the arguments I make on my show, strawman them, argue them. 45-minute speech saying I'm stupid, saying I'm a neo-Nazi, saying I can't read, saying I'm alt-right, saying I'm a liar about my views, saying I'm an anti-Semite, saying I'm a white nationalist, and on, 45-minute speech. Now, I'm not there to defend myself. I'm not there to engage in a debate subsequently on the ideas he debunks. He doesn't engage me on Twitter when I tweet him. He doesn't engage me in person. And it's exactly like, who is it, this Foxworth candidate? Who should look into? Foxworth is very good. It's Joshua Foxworth. He's great. It's like he said, this little guy uses his platform to defame everybody and anybody. You're anti-Semitic, you're racist, you're not conservative, you're whatever. He's got millions of subscribers, millions of followers, big Wilkes Brothers, propped up media enterprise. That's the people that underwrite his operation, billionaires. So he gets to say whatever he wants, call anybody any name, that's fine. That's not... you know, violating decorum. That's not, violating the rules of proper debate. When he gives a 45-minute speech defaming me and just nasty personal attacks, dishonest slander, and the intention there is to ruin my life. Understand that. He doesn't say those things to win the argument. He says those things so that I'll get deplatformed, my livelihood will go away, people will target me. That's why he does that. You don't call someone a neo-Nazi because you're arguing their ideas. You call someone a neo-Nazi so that they get banned from Twitter. You call someone a neo-Nazi so they get fired from their job and people ostracize them socially. That was the intention. So Ben Shapiro can use his platform, which is exponentially bigger than mine because he's been doing this for 10 years, and say whatever he wants, every slander, every lie, not allow me the right to reply. I incidentally see him on the street. He happens to be with his family. I said, hey, nice to see you. What's with the 45-minute speech? So, oh, hang me, crucify me, crucify me, put a noose around my neck and hang me. Oh, beat the shit out of me, knock my teeth out. That was so out of line. Really? Oh, bafungle with these people. Bafungle with these little people like Ben Shapiro. Little people like Ben Shapiro. You know who I'm talking about. And that's exactly what it is. What do? They cry out in pain as they strike you. Ben Shapiro cries out in pain, oh, my family, my kids, while he goes up for 45 minutes and says, you're a neo-Nazi, you're stupid, haha, you can't read, you're an incel, all that. That's not out of line, but I'm really the bad guy, right? So to me, that's the biggest point. And it gets even better than that. And maybe this is the last thing I'll say about this. It gets even better than this. Ben Shapiro knew exactly what he was doing. When he crossed the street, and you could see it in the video, he's smirking. They try to make it out like, oh, he's like afraid for his life or something. Oh, his kids are traumatized. He's smirking. He's laughing. His wife is laughing. And also, he's got his pregnant wife flanking between me and him. So it's me, the pregnant wife, and him, and his kid in his arm. Literally puts his wife in front of him. Oh, I'm such a threat that you put your pregnant wife between me and you? You put your kid up so everybody can see the kid, parade that around, smirking. They know exactly what they're doing. And this is the game, and it's been that way from the beginning. With Donald Trump, with everybody. You know, we call these people out and say, hey, like, you're fucking the country, okay? Sorry for the language, but that's what you're doing. You're advocating for wars that our people die in. You're advocating for policies that suck out the money out of our country. You're destroying jobs. You're turning this country upside down. You're advocating for libertarianism that is turning our communities into rubble. And you have to answer for it. And these people snicker behind podiums and behind podcasts and say, oh, you're a neo-Nazi, you're racist, you're anti-Semitic. Oh, I hope you don't lose your Twitter account. Oh, I hope you don't lose your YouTube. And they call up, you know who, working at what I can't, I saw so many names I can't say for various reasons, but they call up Mr. A and they say, hey, get this guy off of Google. Get Mort on the phone from the ZOA. Get this guy off YouTube. We attack these people. I confront this guy, Ben Shapiro. He's crossing the street and suddenly, oh, but that's so uncalled for. He's with his family. That's what they do all the time. They always resort back to the politeness. Oh, you may have a point, but never mind your point. You're impolite. It was the same with Donald Trump. Oh, well, maybe he's right about the Iraq war. Maybe he's right about trade, whatever, but he's impolite. You know, that's what Donald Trump said at one point. Oh, my language. What he said in the second debate in the general election. Mine were words, his was actions. That's exactly what it is. It's what it is with all these people. That's what they try to do. Oh, well, Ben Shapiro's a neocon that, you know, slanders everybody. I mean, lies about people. I mean, and that should be illegal. That should be like defamation. But because it doesn't work like that for public figures, the law is basically useless. So the guy defames me, slanders me, tries to hurt my reputation. He advocates all these terrible policies. I mean, just a total weaselly little guy. Oh, but I'm impolite. So that means, you know, lock me up, throw away the key, beat the shit out of me, whatever, right? So that's the Ben Shapiro situation. And, you know, look, these people can't run forever. People see what's going on. People see right through this. You know, most of the replies that I've been seeing have been in defense, saying exactly what I'm saying. But this is how they hinge on doing this. And this is where we really have to turn a corner as far as conservatives go. This is the much bigger point, which is to say that we have to stop caring about decorum. We have to stop caring about what is going to be perceived as uncouth or racist or whatever, because this is how they have constrained us for the past two decades. This is what has kept us in a state of fear and losing for two decades, is we'll think, okay, we're going, we've got the right message and so on, but just say something inappropriate, right? There's a gaffe. You say something, it can be misconstrued as racist. Well, you know, I liked them up until that point. Now we got to say bye-bye. We can't have racists in our ranks. They're going. Ah, but they said something impolite. Ah, but there's a scandal. Oh, yeah, better discard that guy. He's no good. This is why we've been losing for 20 years. And you know why? Because the rules only apply to us. These people can do anything and everything. You know, Benny Johnson is a perfect example. This is a guy who should have no business in any professional circle, let alone conservative circle. This guy's a disgusting, filthy degenerate, cheats on his wife, he's bisexual. I know people that have seen the tapes, you know, let's just put it that way. Seen the tapes, okay? Tapes. Tapes, Benny. The tapes. And this guy's speaking at Conservative Inc. He's speaking at the SAS. Oh, I brought dancers. Here's my big speech at the Conservative Inc. Summit and all this. And that's fine. The rules don't apply to him, but it applies to everybody else. Everybody else, you say bitch, you say whatever. Suddenly you're not okay. And we know that that's how it goes. Nothing new there. But something has to evolve inside of you, inside of the audience, inside of the bystander, inside of the coalition that has to say, we no longer care about the rules, about the decorum, about the civility, about maintaining this reputation as a fair moderate. We cannot appeal to people that hate us. That's a bottom line. What that is appeasement of people that hate us and want to kill us. And they hate our message. That's all that it is. Why would we ever try to appease people that are our enemies? Can you appease your enemies? No. The only way you appease your enemies is by not being a threat, by surrendering, by conceding. So, you know, even in the conversation before Ben Shapiro came up, Elijah Schaefer was telling me, well, don't you see how your arguments could be seen as racist? Don't you see how our arguments could be perceived as racist? And then Ben Shapiro comes by and, oh, it's bad optics, whatever. But that's what it is. People constantly concerned about perception, about rules, linguistic rules, debate rules, whatever. Our enemies don't care about the rules. Why should we? Why should we? And in any case, I don't even think we're breaking any rules. The things that we say are not bad, objectively or otherwise, so why should we go around apologizing and constantly walking around eggshells, making sure that we're okay? People have said to me countless times on this show, you know, I like your message, but some of the things you say, oh, but some of these jokes, oh, you keep hurting yourself with these outrageous jokes. Has to be that way. Because just as important as it is to change the message, we also have to change the rules. We also have to change the rules of engagement between real conservatives, real America firsters, and this cabal, this cadre of neocons, fake conservatives, hidden progressives, all these characters. It has to be that way. So you know what? I'm doubling down. I'm not going to apologize. I did nothing wrong. Ben Shapiro should apologize for what he said about me. You know, maybe then I'll feel a little bit bad about the wife and kids that are so traumatized, right? So that's a Ben Shapiro situation. The other thing about this Fox News article, it's such a shame. When this Fox News article that I just read first came out, I didn't believe it was real. Because the article said, conservative activist Nick Fuentes is fired back at so-and-so, and it just read exactly what I said a moment ago. They edited it, and I tweeted about this. I said, this is mind-blowing. I didn't even believe it was real. I thought Millennial Matt wrote this up and, like, I don't know, posted it on a fake website or something like that. I thought it was some, I don't even know, maybe it was VDare. I couldn't believe it came from Fox News. Are you sure you have the right link? Is this something else? I had no idea because I said, this is like too good to be true. The original article, which is archived. And then within 3 hours, they updated it to say far-right activist, Nick Fuentes, instead of conservative activist. They also went in there and they included this little excerpt. This was not in the original, but this was in the updated one. It says, Fuentes, a man of Mexican lineage, I'm a quarter Mexican, a man of Mexican lineage who hails from the suburbs of Chicago, has been involved in numerous controversies in recent years and attended the notorious Unite the Right event in Charlottesville. He claimed that year that he was forced to leave Boston University. He said at the time that he had no regrets about participating in the white nationalist movement, which I was never in a white nationalist movement, right? I participated in a rally, which was not, I mean, it was not all white nationalists. There were some, but there were also some conservatives. Anyway, they quote me, they say, Fuentes has also been described as a Holocaust denier, in part because of a January video, in which he compared Holocaust victims to cookies baking in an oven, but he denied the accusation in November in a Washington Post story. He told The Hill in November that the cookie analogy was for shock value and so on. And, like, this is what's wrong with the media. You know, when they report about Ben Shapiro, do they say, Ben Shapiro, the, you know, Jewish supremacist, Ben Shapiro, the Zionist extremist activist, Ben Shapiro, who has been known for numerous controversies, in 2003, he said we should bulldoze Palestinian villages, Ben Shapiro, who, blah, blah. No, they say Ben Shapiro, you know. And when it's Sean Hannity, they say Sean Hannity. Tucker Carlson is Tucker Carlson. Ann Coulter is Ann Coulter. When it's Nick Fuentes, it's far-right activist, and everything I've ever done that was not PC, inappropriate, whatever. Going back 3 years, Charlottesville was what? It's 2 years ago. Well, it was the Fuentes went to notorious Charlottesville and one time made a joke about the Holocaust. Really? Fuentes, who one time made a joke about the Holocaust. Okay, you know, that's in my bio for the rest of my life. Life sentence. You know, you do 1,000 hours of America First talking about immigration and Christianity and so on. You do a show, you do events, speeches, you have allies, whatever. But Fuentes, the guy that one time that made a Holocaust joke a year ago, one time, he said he never denied the Holocaust, but he made that joke a year ago. That's the biography forever. These are the games they play. So it's very disgusting. I was very impressed and like excited. I was encouraged. I was like, wow, maybe Fox News isn't so bad after all. I'm sure they got one phone call, you know, Jared Holt, whatever, some other Jewish guy, SPLC, ADL. Hey, you know, that's Nick Fuentes, the bad guy. You know, you gotta include the SPLC transcript as well. Gotta include the little blurb from the ADL website too. Oh, gotcha. Copy, paste, edited. Okay, we're good now. But I mean, this is the game. So we're up against a lot of unfair tactics, but we're pushing through in spite of that. Here's the difference. The difference is that we're never going to apologize. We're never going to go away. You know, a lot of people get beaten because they get this far, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. That was inappropriate. I'm a bad guy. I'm a piece of shit. I'm sorry I made that joke. Whatever. But, I mean, we're not going to do that. And because of that, people respect us. And people get on our side. They're like, you know what? That is BS. It's, you know, watch the clip. It's not a big deal. You know, watch the clip of the cookie joke. Not a big deal. This guy's fine, you know? So people are coming around. if we have the stones, if we have the balls to lead them. And I do. And I have the balls, clearly. And, you know, generally everybody else in the movement does too. But that's Shapiro. We're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying because it's getting late. It's like 9 o'clock. So I was a little bit late today, but I made up for it. The show is way longer than it usually is, right? We've been at it for like an hour and 10. So let's see what we got with the super chats. That's little Ben. So no, I will not apologize. Ben Shapiro should apologize for being a lying weasel piece of shit. And that's a quote. And you could put that on the record. Ben Shapiro should apologize to me first for slandering me, trying to hurt my reputation, and trying to ruin my life, doing a 45-minute speech full of lies about me. Then maybe I'll feel bad about, you know, traumatizing the kids by saying it's great to see you, you know? So they're tough. They're tough. Ben Shapiro will never fail to tell you how tough the Zionists are, right? How tough all these, you know. Elliot Hamilton and Ben Shapiro have this complex. They see themselves as Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds. They're all the Bear Jew. It's like, you're not that. You're a fucking weasel, dude. Anyway. But let's get to the super chat. Sorry for all the language today. Very heated, wow, heated Christmas language. But we're going to move on. We're going to look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying. We've got Mr. Corgi, who says, I would have gone to the Goyper Leadership Summit, but I already purchased tickets to SawCon. Oh, SawCon. Yeah, thanks a lot. Sartistic says, you caught Ben Shapiro lacking. Caught him lacking, yeah. Jordan says, Merry Christmas Eve's Eve, Nick. Well, thanks. Catholic Nick Ur says, thanks for never backing down, King. Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, too. Jacob says, have you ever read of any of Steve Franson's books? I have not. Punished Huey says, who's shorter, Destiny or Shapiro? Probably Destiny, but I've only ever met Shapiro in person. I was surprised that Shapiro was, like, shorter than me. Because I know everyone says he's short, but I've heard that he's, like, a certain height. I've heard he's around like 5'10 or something like that, or 5'11. I was like, oh, well, in that case, I don't know. You know, maybe we'd be roughly around there. Maybe I'd be a little bit taller. But no, I mean, the guy's literally like 5'7 or 5'6. I was surprised. He's littler. He's a very little guy. So let's see. Crosswiz says, why didn't Santa bring presents to the kids? Okay, I can't read that. J.H.L. Fish says, what was your worst Christmas present and best Christmas present you ever got? Worst Christmas present. Can't really remember. I've always gotten good Christmas presents. I don't think I've ever gotten a bad Christmas present. If I could think back. Can't say there's been many losers. None that really stand out to me. Oh, actually, you know what? There was one. I'll never forget. Okay, so one time, it was Christmas Eve, classic at Grandma's house. You know, it's our Christmas tradition. I was there, and we were opening presents. I think, you know, usually we open like one present before Christmas Day. And I had asked my parents, I'm like, I want Red Dead Redemption for Christmas. That's what I want. It's the main thing I want. I want Red Dead Redemption. Now, I had been playing the game Infamous for PS3. Infamous, the game with like the guy, electric guy, whatever. So I had rented that from the... It must have been years ago, so I think I had rented that from like Family Video or Blockbuster or something like that. It was that long ago, maybe 10 years ago. So I had been playing Infamous. I had rented that game. I liked it a lot, but I said, Mom, I want Red Dead Redemption. That's what I want for Christmas. And so I remember I got a package, a wrapped package. It was in the shape of a, you know, like a PS3 box. You know, if you're a Zoomer, you've been opening presents enough to recognize these shapes, you know, what a game disc, what media looks like wrapped up. And I said, oh, is this Red Dead Redemption? It's just what I wanted. Mom's like, so I open it up. Infamous. I'm like, what the f- I wanted Red Dead Redemption. What is this? And she's like, well, Red Dead Redemption is rated M, and Infamous is rated T for teen. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thanks. That's, you know, I still wanted this, but I kind of wanted it. So I remember that was the only time I can remember that I was, like, really, like, bummed out. I also remember, like, these, like, primordial memories in my brain of, like, whacking my head against, I think it was my birthday. There's like a primordial memory of like, I was at my birthday one time and I like couldn't hit the pinata first or something. So I like whacked my head against the garage floor, the concrete floor, because I was so mad. So that was a different festivity that went awry. I also remember my sister years ago throwing something across the living room. She had a doll that she didn't like. But that was my only, but aside from those, that was like my only like, disappointment memory from Christmas gifts. That was probably my least favorite. favorite. Oh, a lot of good ones over the years. I mean, I got a GameCube for Christmas one time, I think, or PlayStation 2. I still remember getting Star Wars Battlefront for Christmas, the original. Because I had Battlefront 2, I wanted the original, so I got that. I was playing it all day on my PS2. What's that map? Citadel. Battlefront 1. Because I had Battlefront 2, and I rented Battlefront 1 from Hollywood Video. They got the one from Hollywood Video. I was like, based? So I like that. I got a Geonosis Arena Star Wars, like a playset that was the arena. You remember when they're battling all those animals and it's, you know, Clone Wars starts. So that was a good one. My iPod Nano, blue iPod Nano, must have been like 2008, 2009. That was a good one. So it was a lot of winners and only one. And it wasn't a big deal, but that was the only one that stands out. I was like, really? I won. And I ended up just buying it later on anyway. Wanted Red Dead Redemption, Mom. What the hell? Why did you give me Infamous? So I'm sure that's probably relatable. I can't believe she wouldn't let me play M-rated games. So stunted my development, you know? I talked about this last week. The, you know, play outside, stop playing video games, and not letting me get M games. Mom, like, it has so stunted my social development. Because now I talk to, like, Beardson and all these other people, and they're like, oh, have you played, like, this game? And I'm like, no, it was rated M. You know, I see memes about Grand Theft Auto 4. I'm like, oh, I don't get that. I never played Grand Theft Auto 4 because it was rated M. They would even almost let me get Grand Theft Auto 5. I remember it came out in like 2015 or 2014. And I was like, going to go out and get it with my friends. I'm like, oh, I got $60. It just came out. We're going to go get it and come back and play it. And my dad's like, oh, not so fast. I don't know about you getting that game. I'm like, Dad, I'm like 15. Just let me play Grand Theft Auto. So all these years later, it's like, I can't relate to a lot of my autist friends who, like, played every game and played M games. I'm like, I don't even play that many games. I'm not even good at them because my parents would be like, go outside, time to play baseball, time to play whatever. Go play in the lawn with your lightsabers. Well, I don't want to play in the lawn with my lightsabers. They break too easily. You can't really have a lightsaber battle with them. Anyway, so those are my two Christmas memories. Cringe and Blue Pill says Shapiro is a simp. So white pilling, seeing that confrontation made my week. Just another sign that God is on our side. Keep them on their toes, King. Well, thanks. Well, that's the other thing. They're like, you would never say this to somebody's face. It's like when I go to these things, you really can't win. It's like you say it in their face and you're a jerk. You don't say it in their face and you're a coward. It's like, I go, you know, people are like, oh, he's a big tough guy behind the keyboard. I go to all these different people. I get right up in people's face. It's like, what's the matter with you, you know? Police, people bigger than me, whatever. It doesn't even matter. So it's, you can't, oh, you come up to them, you're a jerk. You don't come up to them, you're a coward. Well, you know, I'd rather be a jerk than a coward. And, you know, somebody was like, oh, this guy's a 90-pound smug asshole. I want to respond, I'm 150-pound smug asshole, by the way. So anyway, I'm actually not an asshole. I'm a really nice guy. But, you know, you advocate for the death of the country, and I'm, you know, maybe I'll confront you. Super Chat says, a picture says 1,000 words. God put a smile on Nick's face. Trust the man, trust the plan. So true. Trust the plan. And it's so true. John Pants says, I preformed a seance and contacted the spirit of Terry Davis. I tried asking questions, but he just kept spelling out the N-word on my Ouija board, R.I.P. This is the anniversary of his death recently, right? Yeah, big F in chat for Terry Davis, but can't be doing seances. That is black magic. Jomo says, everybody wish Ben Shapiro a Merry Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Iona Black says, whoops, scrolled down too far. Okay, Jacob says, are we doing anything at CPAC this year? I might go since students could get in for $85. It'll finally be something us Mid-Atlantic Knickers can get to. I've told you, this is the last time I'm going to say it, we're going to do something at CPAC. Not sure, we were making plans about it yet, you know, it's all coming together, but I will let you know more about that later. But yes, for the 10 millionth time, we are doing something at CPAC. Technos is Star Wars, the United States episode never ending. Okay. Zero says, Ben, you really should have used private transportation if you didn't consent to a free exchange of ideas in a public place. Yeah, what I should have said is, it's a public place. It was perfectly legal for me to do that. Because that's what all these jerks do when it comes to me in the conference. Well, they can kick you out. It's a private venue. They can kick anyone they want and it's private. Well, Ben, you happen to be on the public sidewalk. It's totally legal for me to do that. Ben, you want to not get confronted with your family. You shouldn't be walking on the public sidewalk. I'm well within my legal right to do that. Perfectly legal. Yuppie Trash says, Nick RTing my burger vid. Be like, kind of funny, though. Which burger vid? Charlie Kirk says, that dusty-ass Karen talking about that's his kids, that's his family. Bitch, what about our families? Kid's going to be serving prison sentences for saying gamer words and disrespecting the pride flag. Yeah, tell me about it, right? Harris says, I have to thank you, Pat, Jake, Jaden, and everyone behind the scenes for such an amazing weekend and event. It's always an honor and privilege to participate in America First Events. Merry Christmas. Well, hey, thanks so much. Merry Christmas to you, too. It was great to have you. Great to be with you over the weekend. Really a great time with everybody involved. So yeah, it was awesome to meet you and everything. But I appreciate that. Merry Christmas. Omega King says, the fate of the world rests in your hands, Nick. We need you to save us. We need you to stop immigration and save our families, our people, our identity, white beauty, everything we hold sacred. Please. Kind of a tall order, but yeah, I'll try. Classical Theist says, congrats on such a successful Groiper Leadership Summit, King. Can't wait for phase two. Hope you have a blessed and merry Christmas. Well, thank you so much for the big super chat and for the kind words. Merry Christmas to you, too. Happy New Year, our good friend Classical Theist. And I've heard the Classical Theist is going to start making some more content soon, so I'll be looking forward to that as well in the new year. So thanks a lot, big guy. Much appreciated. Cabin in the Woods says, hey, son, have you heard of 1984? Just kidding. Fantastic work and great optics the last few days. Absolutely based in red pill. The Human Shield Shapiro line killed me. Great work. Enjoy it. You deserve it, and Merry Christmas. Well, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas to you, too. Robert says, hey, King, it's my birthday. Your show is the best gift. Merry Christmas. Well, happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Hope it's a good one. Scripture says, the tadpole whom the establishment rejected became the capstone and Groiper King of the America First Christian movement. Very true. The tadpole, the lowly tadpole, became a Groiper and now is the capstone. Miggery says, finally watched Joker today. What a great movie. Took you 2 months, really? Also saw some of the GLS-related videos like your speech and you and that black guy having a conversation. Very white-pilling stuff. Merry Christmas. Well, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas to you, too. And yeah, I mean, look, it's working. It's working. Hello. I sat down on the plane going back to Chicago. It was amazing. I get on the plane back to Chicago, and I'm in the middle seat, of course, because I checked in way too late, and they put you in group 9, and they put you in the middle seat. And I sat down, and there's a girl sitting on the aisle seat. I go, hey, I got to sit in the middle. So she gets out. I sit there. She goes, so I know exactly who you are. I go, yeah, great, here we go. She's like, I'm Jewish. I'm in Turning Point USA. I'm a Zionist. And she was nice enough, but like for like 2 or 3 hours, we're just going back and forth. And, you know, she was nice. We had a good conversation. But, I mean, I told her straight up. I said, like, look, we are going to win. I looked her in the eyes and said, like, you know, this time next year, we're going to be, like, so far ahead. I said, you're going to, in 1 year's time, you're going to remember this. I said, 1 year from today, you're going to look back and say, wow, I sat next to him on the plane. I should have killed him when I had the chance. I said, jokingly, I said, but really, I said, in 1 year, you're going to say, who could have ever thought that they would have blown up like this? I said, because we are going to normalize what we're doing. We're going to win, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you or Turning Point are going to do about it. And that's my attitude about the whole thing, is that the Groiper Summit, talking to those, you know, passerbys on the street corner, like, the plan is so good. We know exactly what we're doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. I've been saying this stuff for years. Like, I don't want to get too cocky. Believe me, I'm supremely cautious. You know, I'm not arrogant. I don't have any hubris about the situation, but I'm so confident in what we figured out over the past couple of years that, I mean, there, Jared Holt can scribble on his notepad and Ben Shapiro can do what he wants. There's nothing you can do. And like Cassie Dillon, you know, years ago, she thought she could like strangle me in the crib when I had like 1,000 followers on Twitter. I was looking at my Twitter today. I have 80,000 followers as of today. And I thought, this is probably like the nightmare scenario for Cassie Dillon, that after 2 years of trying to sabotage me, ostracize me, whatever, I have just become like a phenomenon. America First, this movement, has become a phenomenon. And it's challenging everything they stand for. So, yeah, it is very white-pilling. Mr. Leon says, Crenshaw generated good content for us. I wonder if other congressmen are as dumb as he is. They are coming back to town soon. Yeah, there's some dumb ones out there, although Crenshaw, I think, is one of the dumbest, certainly one of the big dummies in Congress. And you could tell, because he can't answer any questions. He gets asked these questions, and you could tell it's not a strong suit. His strong suit is taking money. His strong suit is taking money from Zionists. So, yeah, but I don't think many of them come on the tours like he does. They're trying to make him, like, the meme candidate. So I don't know if there are any other, like, meme candidates that'll have the same appeal, that do the same kind of thing. Crenshaw's like, yeah, I'm like the guy with the, I'm the cool guy, yeah. Yeah, I'm like the conservative answer to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, I shoot guns. I'm like a big, tough guy. It's like, okay, bro, for sure. Keep advocating for wars in the Middle East. That's really cool. That's really hip. Taking money slavishly on your knees from the Zionist lobby. Yo, that's so cool, dude. Yo, he's just like John McCain, but he's got an eye patch, bro. But he makes viral social media content on Twitter. Oh, that's dope, dude. Hey, what's up? What's happening, bro? Hey, you see that Dan Crenshaw video? Man, that guy's so epic. He's like 3 feet tall. And he gave up. He almost gave up his life for Israel. Yo, that's epic. Anyway, Nibber says, Ben, don't want the smoke. He ain't about that shit. Yeah, facts. Foyley says, libertarians are the vegans of politics. I'm so embarrassed. I wasted 5 years of my life with them. And thankful to have found you. I trust the plan. Merry Christmas, big guy. Very true. Well, hey, you know, we all have to start somewhere, so don't feel too bad. I was a libertarian, too. But thanks, man. Merry Christmas to you, too. Sire says, in 1900, 6% of people were living in poverty. Now only 90% aren't. Charlie Kirk on capitalism. Yeah, I've heard that one before, but it's like, you know, what is it, 100 years ago in 1900, it was a very different country. Sure, there might have been poverty, but there wasn't the level of degeneracy and all the rest you're seeing today. And in any case, poverty is relative, right? So sure, you could say that people objectively have a higher standard of living because of technology, but you also have the phenomenon of the working poor, you know, people that work long hours, they live paycheck to paycheck, and they might have, you know, a reasonable standard of living, but I mean, they are slaves. You know, they're constantly in debt, constantly paying things off. You know, if they're students, former students, you know, they've got a mortgage, something like that. They've got a job that they can't lose. They're dependent on it. I mean, that's most of the population. So, and they don't own anything. In 1900, you might not have had much, but at least you owned what you had. Even 60 years ago. 60 years ago is really the model. Much better standard of living, much better economy, but you also owned what you had. You owned your house, you owned a car, you owned, you know, whatever. You owned yourself. Now you don't own yourself. The bank owns you, you know, the government owns you. 40% in income taxes. In 1900, there was no income tax. There was no student loans. There was not anything like that. West Offensive says, SAS, Simping Action Summit. Yeah, for real. But hey, thanks for coming. It was good to see you, big guy. Crafted Gamer says, is it time to pretend to be leftist and attack Daily Wire sponsors on Twitter, email, and get them to drop them? A form of economic warfare. Also appreciate the hidden joker language and tweets. Best of luck. Well, thanks. No, because it's not going to work. Oh, we're going to attack Ben Shapiro's advertisers. Not going to work. Like, the left hasn't tried that, right? So no, dumb idea, but thanks. Nico says, should have listened to BAP. Now, due to your reckless planning, dozens of Groypers lay slaughtered. Patrick Casey was taken hostage. Are you happy now? Yeah, exactly. Should have listened to him. Should have canceled the summit. What a dummy. Very interesting tactics from BAP. That's all I'm going to say. You know, who knows? Andrew says, so IQ can indeed affect the social behavior of people in different ethnic groups, but surely environment comes into play. I would assume, and by the way, BAP knows what that means. So IQ can indeed affect the social behavior of people in different ethnic groups, but surely environment comes into play, I would assume. Sort of a nature versus nurture, I think you mean. It says nature versus nature. What do you think? Yeah, nobody disputes. This is always the argument. Well, you know, genetics doesn't determine everything. Okay, but that's not what you're saying. Not you in particular, but generally, people say, well, IQ and variously genetics doesn't determine everything. Okay, but you're saying it determines nothing. You know, the current paradigm is that genetics determines nothing, that race is skin deep and everything else is environmental. everything is environmental, right? Except for, I guess, like homosexuality and like whatever else. If like of all the things that we don't want to be responsible for are genetic, and all the things that we do, you know, want to be responsible for are behavioral, are environmental. So, you know, people say, well, it's not everything. Okay, but it's also not nothing. It's probably a big, big factor. And things like IQ in particular, it's most of it. IQ is mostly genetic. And you know this because you look at socioeconomic groups. And the richest categories of some people will score lower than the poorest of others. You know, I told that girl on the airplane that if you look at SAT scores, the richest blacks score lower than the poorest whites on average. Actually, that's not true. I think the very richest blacks score a little bit higher than the poorest whites, but it's like the next richest score lower, and everybody else does too. It's like, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Certainly, there is also a correlation causation issue, because typically people that are rich tend to have higher IQ anyway, right? Not, I mean, generally speaking, to be rich, you have to be successful. To be successful, you have to be high IQ, right? You have to delay gratification. So there are some things built in generally. When people say better schools, they mean more money. And when it's more money, typically means better off genetically anyway. You know, rich people can afford the better wives and the better degrees, and, you know, they have money and everything. You understand this. But IQ is mostly about genetics, mostly about heritability. We also know this because they do studies where they have adopted black kids in white families or adopted other kids in other families. They do studies on adopted kids, and they find the same thing. That even if you change the environment, socioeconomically, the school, the education, all that, still the same. So that leads you to believe that it's mostly genetic. Nico says, Merry Christmas. May God continue to bless you. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Last Son of the West says, given Con Inc's recent standard of what constitutes harassment and threatening behavior, any journalist, reporter, or left-wing protester would be arrested for theirs. Keep up the awesome work, King, and Merry Christmas. And it's worse. Journalists do it worse than what I did. Mine wasn't even a confrontation. Journalists come and put a camera in your face, a microphone. I said, hey, Ben, great to see you. Why'd you give a speech about me? Anyway, Merry Christmas. Fat Nibba says, Ben Shapiro is part of the elite punditry class directly presiding over America's managed decline. He deserves all the shit thrown at him and not the niceties you afforded him at that crosswalk. 100%, I agree, 100%. He deserved even worse, in my opinion. Mine wasn't even inappropriate at all. He deserved an inappropriate response. Diversity Steen says, the Jewish people on the sidewalk saying Jews need to be loyal to Zionism. Exposed to normies how we are all different tribal groups. We need to look out for our own interests, and whites are the only ones who don't. Well, yeah, that was fitting too. You know, in that scrum of all those people, in another incident, two Jewish kids barge in and say, oh, you made a joke about the Holocaust, you know, so it's very, again, true to form. And at one point, those two Jewish kids were like, need I remind you that Jewish people have been, you know, oppressed for 2,000 years. It's like, okay, I think we've been reminded of that a lot, but thanks for the reminder anyway. Gen X Chad says, I found your show over the summer. You were doing a great job fighting for true conservatism. The end of 2019 has been awesome to watch. Keep fighting the good fight. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. Well, thanks. Likewise. Jeffrey says, RIP Ben. 6,000,001. Yeah. Very tragic. Rebunking says, it was heartwarming to see Rob Smith encourage the Groiper King to keep up the good fight. Yeah. Really appreciate the message, Rob Smith. Very encouraging. Cabin in the Woods says, was great to drive you insane with trite memes last stream. It was all in good fun, though. Yeah, crying Wojak with the mask on. It was all in good fun. It was great to drive you crazy. Donating more money towards a digital copy of Joker, perhaps? Worth every penny with Twitter salt you caused with Ben. Well, hey, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, all in good fun, right? Pat Bateman says, the epilogue to episode one, the phony conservative. Yes. Groiper Wars, episode one. The fake conservative. It's Charlie Kirk at the end. But there's somebody in the shadows, you know, because the real Phantom Menace was not Darth Maul, it was Darth Sidious. So, who's Darth Maul? Darth Maul is Charlie Kirk. Who's the real Phantom Menace? That's the question. Federal agent says, me and the boys just practicing our Millie Rocks at lunch. Then I remembered I've got my anti-Second Amendment parents coming over for Christmas dinner, and I need to stash my guns at one of your guys' place. Please, it's just a couple of days. Yeah, okay, federal agent. The practicing the Millie Rock, though, is very relatable. That you almost got me with that one. Australopithecus says, good work, big guy. Merry Christmas. Well, thanks for the big super chat. Merry Christmas. West Offensive says, it's called hentai and it's art. I'm Glenn Beck for Prager University. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Bob Sacamano says, please stop making fun of the Holocaust. Yeah. Oh, no. I don't have a name. Says, imagine being a Harvard law grad and running away from a debate with a dropout. So true. Bjolner says, BTFO. By the way, he's a literal rent boy for a living. Well, I don't know if that's true, but yeah, I mean, the guy just embarrassed himself. And I told him that. I said, I fully expect an apology when our summit goes off without a hitch. And he's yet to apologize. So, you know, these people are just not serious. What have I told you? Trust the plan. Just trust the plan. I keep saying this. You will look dumb if you don't trust the plan. And people do at this point. After this weekend, hello? G says, these nibbas like Haley, McCain, and Kelly don't know that you are better at exposing them than they are at trying to smear you. Very true. Very succinct. Bjolner says, Merry Christmas, Nick, to you and your family. God bless. Well, hey, Merry Christmas to you, too. Really good comics. Says, just got an idea for a good tweet. Well, great. I'll have to check that after the show. Mr. Linen says, hey, King, I always thought Ben was pretty short, but then I saw him in that video next to you, and I figured it must be more like 6'7". Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I guess if he's two or three inches shorter than me, he must be like 6'6", 6'5", if I'm 6'9". Jonathan says, yo, King, what was up with Andy Ngo's hostile questioning at the SAS summit? You think that the Groypers bonked him on the head with those nasty questions pointed at you? Yeah, he was persecuting me like a Nazi SS agent, you know? Like, I felt like a Jew during the Holocaust and that whole thing, constantly being chased, followed, harassed, questioned. Yeah. Oh, you're a militant ethno-nationalist? Where'd you get that from, guy? It's funny because he just got done asking me about gays in the movement, you know? Elijah Schaefer just got done saying, you wouldn't have gays in the movement? And then this gay guy's asking me all these misleading, dishonest questions. It's like, And I will say, I don't know what his intention was with that. Maybe in some way that was like helpful because he got me to clarify that I'm not against that. You know, maybe that was the tone of it. It didn't sound like it, but maybe that was the tone. In any case, you know, it's weird. Elijah Schaefer and Andy Ngo, they're always just asking questions. Just asking questions. Then Elijah Schaefer's getting real suspect to me. He's always trying to be my friend. Oh, no, I'm just a nice guy. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just asking questions. But all the questions happen to be just like nasty sort of devil's advocate questions. So it's kind of interesting how that works. Let's see. M says, longtime fan, first time super chatter. I noticed you and Dries Van Langenhove, based politician and founder of a nationalist youth movement in my country, are mutuals on Twitter. You guys ever talk? Yeah, actually, we're mutuals on Instagram too. He sent me a message not too long ago. I accepted his follow request. He was verified. And I checked out his profile, looked up who he was, and you know, we had a brief conversation. But yeah, very cool guy, very Chad. So it's good to make that connection. Inner City Democrat says, boomers be like, if you breathe the same air as my child, I will declare Blood War 3 on you and your next 1,000 descendants. Yeah, it's boomers that do that, right? Michael the Archangel says, Benny Johnson sandwich had me dying. Word on the street is, there's a few more big names in that sandwich as well. Anyway, can't wait for phase two. Well, yeah, it'll be good. The Benny Johnson sandwich. Yeah. Love the sandwich. You know, my favorite sandwich is a hamburger. Benny Johnson. His sandwich is a little different. The sandwich he likes, the sandwich that he likes is it's not a sandwich of my liking. Let's just put it that way. I'll have the Benny Johnson. That's what you say. You go to a whorehouse. You go to a sex party. I'll have the Benny Johnson. That means you're the meat. That means that you're in the middle. That's disgusting. That's gross. Benny, that's disgusting. That's gross. What's the matter with you? Nurse Kate, come on. Nurse Kate, that's his wife. Bless her heart. I feel really bad for her, man. He recently posted, he did on Instagram. He's like, oh, it's my anniversary with Nurse Kate. I'm in love with you. Benny, if you love her so much, stop cheating on her with men. It's gross, dude. That's so wrong. Anyway, Fignuensis says black people, okay. Sammy says, hey, Nick, you should talk to Soph again. Her new content on Gavin's website is based. Okay, maybe I will. America First fan says, looking forward to the 2010 Schmood this Saturday. Will you be streaming Joker? God bless and Merry Christmas, Nick, to you and your family. America First. Yeah, Saturday's our big 2010s rewind stream. It's going to be 10 hours, 2 o'clock to midnight. No, I'm not going to be streaming Joker because like, I got to, you know, stream everything from the decade, not just the last like 2 months, right? So I'll be streaming a lot of different things. But hey, thanks. America First Jew says, Merry Christmas. It was an honor to meet the benevolent and wise Zoomer King, Nicholas J. Fuentes, in an ensemble of America First's finest. The future of conservatism is here. Long live the gamers. Yes, well, thanks. It was great meeting you as well. You were awesome in person. It's such a relief to meet these people and they're normal. You know, because you never know what to expect with the internet. Not a dig at you in particular, but just generally. I never know what to expect when I meet people because if you only know them from the internet, you don't know what they're really like, you know? So it's always such a relief. And actually, white-pilling. That not only are the people that I meet at these things like normal, but a lot of them are actually exceptional. You know, they're all normal. You go to these things and everybody there is like a normal guy. But beyond that, they're actually like doing really well. You know, like Drew Groyper in particular. I don't want to dox or anything, but this guy was like a serious guy, you know, and very intelligent. And, you know, he was talking at the party and I'm thinking like, I hope this guy never comes for my job. He's very smart, very articulate. You know, he's got a lot of interesting stuff to say. So that to me is always encouraging that all these people shit on me and they shit on my audience, these like mainstream DC types. I'll be talking to them. They always badmouth my followers. You know, R.C. Maxwell texted me not too long ago. He said, oh, all your followers are incels, whatever. I literally blocked him. I said, I don't want to talk to you. You're just nasty. And not only are they not that, but they're all winners. They're bigger winners than all these people running these conferences. So it was great to meet you. Very white-pilling. Great to finally put a face to Drew Groyper. Even in person, I kept calling him Drew Groyper. I'd be like, because we were trying to coordinate with him. You know, we were meeting up and doing things. I was like, Patrick, will you text Drew Groyper for me or whatever? Hey, it's Jake. Is Drew Groyper going to meet up with us? So that was funny. But yeah, it was great to meet you. Fick Nuentes says, love you, big guy. You're an inspiration. God bless. Well, thanks. Likewise. Really Good Comics says, in hindsight, the tweet wasn't very good. Been falling off my A game lately. Well, I don't think so. We were all talking about Really Good Comics at the party. Talking about our favorite comics. And I said my favorite was the one where he's at the beach. I also like the one with the id, ego, and superego, the lawful good, neutral, you know, that one. A lot of good ones. So, Quality Content says, you should ask Ben Shapiro's son to debate you, seeing how he shielded his father from your brutal attacks. Yeah. Well, I was wondering who that, I was wondering why Ben Shapiro's son was carrying him like that. It was very weird. Why was Ben Shapiro in the stroller? I was like, maybe that's why they thought I was attacking his kids, because I was yelling at the guy in the stroller. But no, I mean, that was Ben Shapiro. So I wonder who was pushing it. Harold says, I got asked, how do I celebrate Christmas if I'm not Christian? So I replied, the same way you celebrate Valentine's Day and nobody likes you. Well, that's kind of blackpilling, but you should become Christian. You should become a, you should be celebrating Christmas for the right reason. Daba says, bad optics, King. You should have slapped that toddler out of his hands and pushed his wife, okay? Disavow. Deplorabology says, how did the Jews... Okay, not gonna read that. How did they get this much power? Well, I think you know how. They stick together. Let's just say that. Vinny says, Nick Fuentes confronts Ben Shapiro, a.k.a. Holocaust 2. Yeah, got to be careful for that. West Offensive says, welcome to the TPUSA Spittoon. How simp are ya? That's pretty funny. Inevitable something says, opinion on monarchism. You shall be our king going forward. Divine right has clearly been bestowed to you. Hail King Nicholas. Okay, let's take it easy on the hails. All glory to the one true God, Jesus Christ, and Merry Christmas. Well, this is a little LARPy, but I'm not a monarchist, really. I mean, I'm a pragmatist above all else. I'm a pragmatist. Ideal form of government. How about let's just run it first, right? So, I mean, I guess I believe in monarchy, but I really just believe in not whatever we have now. But hey, thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too. Dang Dragon says, Ben's so short he couldn't reach cervix. Okay. Colton says, in 2020, do we retire the word Groyper? Well, we just have to approach with more tact. Billy Mays says, saw Ben with his pregnant wife and two kids and could only think, damn, when is that happening, Nick? God bless. Pray the rosary. Go to confession, King. I don't know what that means. Caesar says, great job this weekend, King. Greetings from Spain. Thanks. Simp Exterminator says, saw the title was blackpilled because the Groyper War is coming to a close, but I then remembered that our movement will ultimately win because we, unlike Shapiro, have Christ on our side. Well, that's true, but also it's not the end. We're just taking a break. Nikki J says, watching any Christmas movies? Not really, actually. Scorch says, was feeling kind of bummed that I didn't get invited to GLS, but the three very empowering speeches you guys gave completely made up for it. Keep up the good fight, Nick. I hope to play a greater role in the fight in the future. Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't get everybody in the door, but it was very tight security. So Aussie Conservative says, thank you for everything you do, Nick. Your political insights and humorous style make life so much more enjoyable for many of us. God bless you, your family, and America first. Well, thanks a lot. Glad you liked the show. Diversity says, imagine telling edgy kids goofing off that they can't make fun of the 6 million while millionaire comedian adults make fun of killing Jesus. Well, and yeah, that hits the nail right on the head. As we're just edgy, we're making jokes, and you know, the sanctimony over that, it kind of vindicates the point of the joke. Moonman says, I enjoyed watching the Groiper Summit. Your speech was great. Everything about creating a political party. Maybe the American Nationalist Party. Just a thought. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks. But yeah, we've heard this a million times before. Yeah, I know. I've never thought of that. It costs way too much money to do that. SpongeBob says, Matt Christensen and Blonde in the Belly of the Beast were counter-signaling your encounter with Shapiro, calling it bad optics. Isn't Blonde barely having a child now in her 30s? Yikes. Well, I mean, why would anybody be listening to a fucking e-girl, some femoid, right? Oh no, a femoid says I'm bad optics. Okay, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. And Matt Christensen, who is this? I don't even know who this guy is, so whatever. Let's see, what else do we... Yeah, people counter-signaling me just don't get it. Jacob says, I miss the esoteric Kanye playlist gaming streams. Well, maybe we'll have another one. Well, it's the holidays. Maybe on Thursday we could do something like that. But now that you've given it a name, I almost don't want to do that. I miss those esoteric Kanye gaming streams. If you make it a thing, it just sucks. It's like, oh, if I just put on a stream and I'm like, oh, we're going to listen to this playlist, then it's like, cool. But if people are like, hey, Nick, can we get another one of those Kanye esoteric streams? It's like, no, we actually... No, we're actually not going to do that. I'm not going to do a... It's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick, though. It's not a gimmick. It's not bingo night. It's not Kanye night on the show. I just hate gimmicks. I hate gimmicky things. Things that become stale. It's just got to be fun, fresh, whatever the schmood is, whatever the vibe is. Okay, everybody. Friday's the esoteric Kanye stream. Get ready to hear your favorite esoteric Kanye stream song. Oh, boy. I can't wait. Oh, I've got my 7 o'clock all planned out. No, that is gay. No, that is gay. I will never do that. I will never become that. If I ever become that, I don't want to give anybody the green light to kill me, but definitely just, you know, tune me out. That is lame. Everybody get ready for the very Crowder Christmas party. Wear your jammies. Yeah, that is gay. I will not do that. Brian, I may do another gaming stream, and I may play Kanye during one of those gaming streams. Certainly, that is, there's a high probability of that, but I will never say... Okay, time for another one of those Kanye esoteric gaming streams, everyone. I don't know what it is about that, but it just makes my skin crawl. It just makes me go off. Anyway, Brian says, you hear Rudy Giuliani call George Soros a fake Jew? Rudy said he's more of a Jew than Soros. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that I call somebody a race traitor. I'm racist. You call somebody a Jewish race traitor and, you know, you're cool. PP says, hey, Nick, I don't think they will ever start to behave. What can we do about them? There must be a solution. I don't know what you mean by that. Let's see. Jesse says, Nick, you're as late as Mary Cycle in the year zero. I think that's kind of blasphemous. But whatever. Let's see. Oh, I don't know. It's just kind of inappropriate. SpongeBob says, donating again to say Magazog's super chat was cringe and incorrect. Well, it looks like it was deleted by the moderator, so we don't even get to read it. Kid Trunks says, hey man, great optics this week. Here's $5 for you to get some creatine. No. Jacob says, I wish you a Merry Chungmas. Oh, thank you. Burrito says, why are you ducking me in a Twister match? Oh, it's this guy. This guy kept coming up to me throughout the thing and saying, hey, will you play Twister with us? Do you mean Twister the game with a mat where it's, you know, red, right hand, blue, left foot, yellow? I will not play Twister with you. That sounds weird, dude. That sounds a little, I don't know. We could play Battleship, we could play Monopoly, but Twister, yeah, gonna be a... I don't think I've ever even played Twister. That's a game that you play, you know, for a reason. It's like, oh, hey, let's play. Hey, Abby Shapiro, want to play Twister? I'll go first, right? Now, I would never say that to her because she's not pretty. But I would say that to, I would say that to, well, I can't say it to anybody you know because it's like, you know, anybody that you know is an e-girl. But, you know, hey, well, I can't say that. That would be weird. But I was just saying, like, in general, I was going to say a name of a person. But it'd be like, hey, mommy, let's play a little Twister, huh? Some of these people are my friends now, so I can't call them mommy. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. But some of these people, it's like, I want to call them mommy. Yo, mommy check? But I can't because I'm friends with them now, so it'd be weird. If I called certain people mommy, they'd be like, don't call me that. That's weird. Bob Sacamano says, major drip check on Papua New Guinea flag tie. It is a Christmas tie. It is the nativity. But I do have a Papua New Guinean flag over there, so... Catholic Leisure says your plan to hold Ben Shapiro's wife and kids hostage until he debated you was crazy, but he didn't really leave you with any choice, did he? I guess you're right. No, he didn't. But, you know, at any cost, a debate with Shapiro. Jesse says America Later with Nicholas Late Fuentes. Okay. Well, you got the content, didn't you? Brian says, bro, they are selling a Keck statue for $10 on Amazon. Let me send it to your P.O. box. Okay, send me an email, and I'll send you my address. For the P.O. box. Ludwig says, tie check, okay. Big Iron says, just found out the school I used to go to put on a play where a character, who, by the way, is apparently supposed to be in middle school, masturbates with a crucifix. Glad that place is running out of funds. Yeah, that's pretty gross. Galgore says, got dragged into a Brexit immigration discussion with extended family this weekend. Just want to say, eat some roast chicken and enjoy the holiday, shaking my head. Or just wanted to eat some. Wishing you a good Christmas from Ireland, big guy. Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, I imagine in Britain, too, it's a lot of fighting over, or in, you know, the Anglosphere, I should say. It's a lot of fighting over Brexit and politics, the election. But try not to do that. Try to be as agreeable as possible. Dustin says, did you notice his Jew fro while you were close to him? Is it true he wears a wig? I don't think so. PP says, okay, thanks. Pacific Loon says, our guy, thank you, King. Mike says, confronting Shapiro at SAS is a great way to conclude the Groiper Wars 2019 and the decade. Also, GLS was a great success and loved all the speeches. Merry Christmas, Yoba 2020. It's going to be decade of Baked Alaska. Not year of, but decade. But thanks, buddy. Merry Christmas to you, too. We're going on 2 hours, and we're not even close to being done. So I don't want to hear any complaints about me being late. Mr. Anonymous says, imagine preferring Big Macs, Deluxe Quarter Pounder, Gang, Rise Up. Yeah, more like Rise Up into trash, into the garbage. Big Macs are the sandwich of McDonald's. Brahim says, Santa deniers will not be welcome in the movement. So true. 6 million chimneys. No, I'm not. Okay, lame. That joke is lame at this point. Ace of Hearts says, type B to bless the super chats. Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas to you too. Brock says, Gohan level 2. Cheers, man. Trust the plan. Brendan says, glad to see one black kid engage and take a picture. Maybe not all of us are 85. Gives me hope. Yeah, no, he was cool. Prince of Zamunda says, Christmas vibe don't hit like it used to as you get older. I think the magic comes back once you have kids all hyped up for Santa, who is real. Yeah, that's true. Alyosha says, irony leads to a dead culture. There's no such thing as an ironic vitalist, as that requires actually respecting life, says Borzoi from TRS, December 2019. Yeah, okay, retard. Nope, so all these people that are, irony is bad, and, you know, what do they have? Nothing. Nope, says Blade Runner sequel was good, took their time. I agree. DC Pagan says, order to watch Star Wars 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 1, Clone Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, Thrawn Trilogy, Solo, Expanded Universe only. Okay. Brainsick Blaze says, didn't get you a gift, have cash. Merry Christmas to one of the biggest influences in my life. Can't wait for 2020. By the way, learn to play Smash, LOL. Okay, yeah. Well, thanks a lot for that. Thanks for the Christmas gift. It was good to see you again. Brainsick, the crazy, crazy old Brainsick Blaze. What a guy. And I stole your joke for my Instagram caption. New Instagram post, by the way. Nicholas J. Fuentes on Instagram. I stole your joke there for my caption. And yeah, I know how to play Smash, okay? You were just sweating on me. with Link, baby Link or whatever, with your ranged attack. Yeah, that's a really, you're really good at the game, just spamming a ranged attack. Really great job. I know I'm not much better with Ness, but yeah, Brain Sick. Oh, I haven't played in a while. Sweats with baby Link. Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, thanks. Merry Christmas. Ones and Zeros says, Nick, episode 9 is good. Gay's kissing it. So good. You know, look, I know it's, like, bad, but people making a big deal out of it are kind of, like, retarded. I'm with you. It shouldn't be in there. It's gross, especially because it's a kid's movie that they're promoting that. But people are like, oh, but gay's kissing. It's like, that's like a... I forgot about that. There was like two frames of the whole movie. So I was like, I rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, really? But I mean, the broad movie was mediocre. So Big Iron says, did you see that the guy who cried during the Star Wars trailer said Russia was using bad Star Wars reviews to sow a division in America, unironically? Yeah, I've heard that theory before. Pretty funny. Brendan Downey says, knowing the perpetrators behind so many wars and the reasons, does it ruin your experience when watching war movies? Not really, because I have a little thing called suspension of disbelief. I'm not autistically like, this is not realistic. There's politics. There's too much politics in this movie, you know. I can just watch a movie and enjoy it because I'm not retarded. Warren says, had a great time meeting you in West Palm Beach. Thank you for everything you do. GLS was great. You're always welcome in Florida. Well, thanks a lot. It was great meeting you as well. Warren, my friend, I love the shirt. Love your shirt, by the way. So, yeah, it was great to meet you. Mentality says, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Enjoy your time off, big guy. Thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too. Strong One says, he's with his children. Yeah. Lamo says, Nick, I don't understand how you could never have watched porn or had premarital sex when you were a libertarian high schooler. Well, I was a libertarian, but I was also like, you know, look, I don't think I've ever said that I've never watched porn. I don't think I've ever said that because it's, you know, it's sort of unavoidable in society. I'm not saying it's like a problem with it now or anything, but, you know, I'm believe in Catholic social values. I've never been a degenerate, and I've never been having promiscuous casual sex or anything like that, or, you know, sex at all. But the pornography thing, kind of inescapable. But the reason that I never turn into some kind of, like, degenerate or anything like that is because I just have, like, a baseline level of sort of intuitive moral values. And that's why I don't get... People are always like, oh, you're, like, this hyper-trad... Like, look, I am a Catholic. I do try to follow the religion as best I can, but people try to make it out like I'm this pious, like, holy priest. People are like, you should become a priest. It's like, you don't even know me, you know? I was never like that because it was... I never was not a degenerate because I was, like, this hyper-Catholic or anything like that, but just because it's gross. It's wrong. To be having casual sex is just so, like... It should be intuitively... You should find something wrong with that. That you should not be having... Sex is not a casual activity. There's no such thing. It is a deep investment, right? Emotionally, psychologically. And I know men are probably better at sort of shaking that off than other people, but there is something about it that should be special, that should be, you know, it should be treated with a little bit more respect than it deserves, that it's sort of trashy and, you know, high school people are having sex and, like, parties and stuff. And I always thought that was wrong. I always thought that was gross. So, you know, should, like, a girl not have casual sex because she's religious or because you're a whore if you do that? You know what I mean? So I thought similarly. So being a libertarian had nothing to do with, like, my personal ethics. I was just in favor of, like, the free market. Skoda says, Merry Christmas, King. Give your mom a kiss from me. Yeah, not going to do that. Pounds Aesthetics says, congratulations on the successful Groiper Leadership Summit and for continuing to humiliate Conservative Inc., especially Ben Shapiro. Have a great Christmas. You deserve it. Thanks. You too. Polish American says, great optics at Florida, going to Guatemala for a Catholic service project, going to pray for you and your family in America first. Hope this is a nice little early Christmas gift. Shout out to Groiper Polish on Twitter. God bless. Well, thanks for the prayers. Thanks a lot. Be safe. Have fun in Guatemala. Hope it's good. Right Leaf says, Merry Christmas, big guy. Okay, so we've got, we're halfway through the Super Chats. We're two hours and 5 minutes in. And every Super Chat is Merry Christmas. Good job. Merry Christmas. Good job. Thanks. You too. Thanks. You too. Just, wow. Just, yeah, loving it. Loving it. Nicholas says, breaking, notorious South American drug lord Nicholas Fuentes retaliates against rival by accosting his family in vicious verbal assault. It's funny because it's, like, exaggerated. Polish American, oh, another one, says, most likely going to miss America first in Guatemala. Forgive me. I'll be praying for the Groypers. God bless. Vivo Christus, Christo Rey. Yes, thank you. Latin, yes. Good job, Jesus. Thank you. Philip says, between mass immigration, women voting based on emotions, we're going to lose our country. Make it stop. That's so true. Wow, it's a really good point. G says, funny how neocon warmongers like McCain and Nimrod, I think they have the moral high ground over you. Isn't that just so funny? That's so yeah, I know. Justin says, my real not Groyper Twitter got suspended for calling Mindy Robinson an e-girl whore. Merry Christmas. Yeah, you can't say whore. They ban you for that. Rusty says, I'm an Ancapistan as fuck, but you're my most preferred version of right-wing statism. Okay, well, that's pretty cringe, but thanks. I guess that's good enough. Don't be Ancapistan. Why would you? It's not 2015 anymore. Zach says, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to my beautiful and based B. I'd sip for you any day. Well, thanks. Cringe says, Jew, you may not know this, but for the last 2,000 years, Jews have been persecuted. Groypers. Nobody knows that. So good. Even the journalists laughed. I know. And, like, that's why I can't really say this. I can't really say why that's a good thing, but that's just really funny. It's really funny that that happened. And it's really makes you think about the plan and optics and all that. Galagor says, nice loose strand of hair, big guy. Hello, comb department. I had to dry it very quickly because I had to go to this Christmas thing and I was late. I was napping all day. My dad was yelling at me. He's like, yeah, we have to be here in 15 minutes. Get up. And I'm like, all right, all right. And also I had to rush, dry my hair really quick. So I didn't get to comb it very much. You know, the Christmas, holiday season, everybody's scrambling everywhere. I was sleeping all, I didn't sleep like at all this weekend, like at all. So I slept like 15 hours last night, then I slept during the day, and I had a dream. I had a dream I was at this arcade called Safari Land, which is in Chicago, and for some reason I was afraid of the Tilt-A-Whirl. Jaden was there, and Jaden wanted to go on. I was like, no, I don't want to go on the Tilt-A-Whirl. It's too high up. I'm afraid of heights. Can't do it. He was like, come on, it's going to be fun. I was like, no, I'm going to play skee ball. So I was just like examining this dream, and my dad, you know, dog starts barking. I wake up, you know. Anyway. Let's see. Polish American says, I made the flak thing, big guy. High IQ, Polish here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good job. Warrior Mario says, have a Merry Christmas, Nick. I enjoyed the live stream and look forward to TPUSA getting humiliated by you much more in the future. I'm so glad. Thanks. G Galt, 1776. Cool name, by the way. Says, A plus 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 weekend, buddy. Only criticism. Okay. Don't want to hear it. Portable says, only criticism. Okay, next. Big love from the West Coast. Big guy, hope to meet you IRL someday. Well, thanks. DB Cooper says, excellent speech. Merry Christmas. Thanks, you too. Dominic says, hey, Nick, thoughts on the Knights of Columbus? I'm a Catholic and thinking about joining. I think they're cool. Two Wheel Cobra says, can I get a shout out to my priest, Father McLucas? Dear friend and fan of the show, recently had his third Aryan son, pushing for the name Nick, but I think he may still need a nudge from you. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the, well, whatever. Oh, the shout out. You want a shout out for your father, not from your father. Okay, well, shout out to Father McLucas. Congrats on your third son. I don't, naming a child after me seems like a big step. Seems like there's a lot to it. I don't know. I would think, I'm just a 21-year-old podcaster. I just got to remember at the end of the day, we're not at the promised land yet. Maybe when I've achieved total victory, we can start naming the kids. But it's not a bad name. It's a good name. And I'm honored if that's the case, if you're naming him after me, but it's very humbling. It's very humbling. Considering Flebes says, oi, mate, hi from the UK. Hope the super chatters go easy on you. Have a Merry Christmas, big guy. Thanks. You too. Umbrella says, what temp do I put cookies in the oven for? I'm making cookies for my boyfriend. Ha ha, women things. Also, is Shapiro really 5'4"? He was probably like 5'6 or 5'7". Wendy says, Harriet Tubman, like, if owned. I don't know what that means. Polish American says, fed in chat, check. Third Aryan son, oh boy. Yeah. Lula says, pee pee poo poo. G Moose says, you like Huey Lewis in the News? Their early work. Oh, I saw that movie too. Good job. Good job with the quote. Harry B says, you still considering a trip to the UK in 2020? Yes. Angloid Knickers on standby for the Greg's meetup. On you, mate. Yeah, bro. We are gonna have a UK meetup in 2020. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna meet my friends, Milk and Joey Mole, and maybe a few others. So yeah, it's still on. And I'll let you, we will do it at Greg's, maybe. Oi! Greg's proper British breakfast. They're so silly. I will not be able to contain myself the whole time I'm there. Their accents just make me laugh. Like, literally, I got interviewed for The Spectator. Do you remember that? The Spectator US version. What's the guy's name? His name was Freddie Gray, like that guy that died in the van or whatever from the police car. And he interviewed me with The Spectator. And the minute he started talking, I had to fight myself to not try to make fun of his accent right away. Be like, oh, hello, a proper podcast, you know, in it. I just tried so hard not to do that and just start laughing. Because I have to be a professional. I have to be a consummate professional when I'm doing these things. I tried so hard not to be like, oi, hello, you're from Britain. Oi, cheeky mate. You know, it's so hard not to make fun of them. You have to be an American or else you sound like ridiculous. Even Lolly Socks, when I was hanging out with him, he kept saying YouTube. And I kept making fun of him for that. You have to talk like an American or else you sound very silly. Polish American says, did the cops name? Okay, I'm not going to read that. Pacific Loon says, they are counting on you to not have faith in yourselves as groypers, says Jake Lloyd. That was a really funny line, but it's so true. Jake Lloyd gave a great speech. And I have to say, you know, I've seen Patrick Casey speak, so I know, you know, what he's about. He's a talented speaker and everything. But Jake Lloyd, I'd never seen him give a speech before. So I was wondering, like, is it going to be, you know, because some people, they can talk really well on the internet and then, you know, not so much in public. But he gave a great speech. I was like, wow, this guy's like a pro. One of the better speakers I've seen, honestly, in like the movement. So I was very impressed. And he gave a message that was really like, I thought, pretty novel. So he was really, blew me away. Not that he's not a smart and talented guy, but, you know, usually making the leap from like the internet to public speaking, not everybody can do both. Some can do one and not the other. But I was like, okay, damn. Okay, Shouty. Let's see. Clever Knot says, hey, Nick, hope you have a great Christmas. Love your show. Been watching every day this month, and this is my first live. Wasn't Shapiro Encounter cringe? No. Eric says, great to see everyone at SAS. Have a peaceful and Merry Christmas. Well, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas to you, too. Sorry we didn't get to spend more time together, but, I mean, as you might have seen, it was just, like, crazy. The past 3 days, and I didn't even like sleep, you know, so I didn't even do everything I needed to, and we didn't even sleep because we were doing so much down there. So it was great to see you down there. You had a great speech from what I saw. So thanks a lot. Let's see. Billy Mays says, I'm sure you heard it all already, but your speech you gave at GLS gave me so much more hope for our future than I could have ever have anticipated. All black pills are shat out for good. Trust the plan. Well, thanks. Glad you liked the speech. Apollo says, Nick, no Nazi, maybe Catholic Inquisitor. Luther was the original groiper. Admit it's true or buy an indulgence. God, that's the point with Brandon to talk NF versus Conservative Inc. in Israel today. Check it out. Okay, I'll definitely do that. Thanks a lot. Juggs says, hey, Nick, have a Merry Christmas. Thanks. You too. Ludwig says, watch with the anti-Semitism, my fellow Catholic. Yeah, that was literally the message. Like, okay, guy. Galgore says, fat Jewish body, double check. Yeah. Cracker Barrel says, did you see the drunken peasants thing? I actually felt bad about one of those guys spurging out about you, a truly lost soul. No, I didn't. Did they talk about me? Drunken peasants. I'll have to check that out after the show, I guess. Let's see. America First Jew says, Nick, you may not know this, but Jews have been persecuted for 2,000 years. We may own 90% of Congress, but two congresswomen aren't on their knees for Israel. That means another Holocaust is coming. Yeah, that's literally what they said. I mean, that's literally what they're saying to us. Except without the part about AIPAC, right? Dax says, is Mike Cernovich a snake and edging his bets, or is he our guy? I don't know. I don't really know him well enough. Dumbass says, I saw a lot. I think Mike Cernovich is his own guy. I think Mike Cernovich's guy is Mike Cernovich. And that's not a good or a bad thing. I think that's just the way it is. I'm not saying that as like a dig. I just think he's very versatile and cautious, and that's, you know, he's just looking to survive. Dumbass says, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying you shouldn't have followed Shapiro after he ignored you. I guess they wanted you to hang out in the street. Yeah, right? Mayor says, well, I like the way you think, Mommy. Now pour some more eggnog in your drink. Okay, Christmas in Harlem, Shaq? You thought I wouldn't get that one, but I know the Christmas song, too. Christmas in Harlem by Kanye and... Who's in that one? Is that Mariah Carey or Rihanna? Or I don't know which one it is. It's Kanye and who's the feature? Oh, it's not. It's Tyana Tyler. Okay, I thought it was a big name or something. Yeah, I know that one. That's probably the only line I know from that song, too, because it's a good line. Marco says, the reason everything is going so well is because the big guy's showing you the way. Merry Christmas to all the kings out there. It's true, true. The big guy's plan. Dabba says, can I get a super chat, a super cut of Nick burping? Yeah, let's not do that. ASDF says, Vatican meme flag IRL. Shalom, fellow Catholic. Yeah, funny. Funny time. D Sharp says, well done, Nick. Thanks. Dax says, did you see Jim Norton? Low-key gave a shout-out to you and the Groypers. It's a cameo video, and I sent it to you via email. He pretends he has no idea who you and the Groypers are, but he knows. I didn't see that. I'll have to check my email. NP says, hopefully some of the boys finally epically red-pill their moms and grandmas at Christmas dinner. Just kidding. Merry Christmas, King. The good thing is my grandma's already red-pilled, so I don't have to red-pill her. And my mom's pretty red-pilled, too. But Dad, the sister, we could red-pill them a little bit more. Let's see. Sierra says, Merry Christmas. Love the show. Thanks. You too. America vs. Jews says, they win by making us think we're alone. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them. Lead the way, King. They will come. Yeah, I kind of stole that line from Star Wars. At the end of my speech, I said, if Groypers lead, the country will follow. I literally did just lift that from Star Wars, because we were watching Star Wars 9 on Thursday night. It was me. Patrick didn't go. He stayed home. I'm like, Patrick, you got to go. He's like, no, I've got some work to do. I'm like, okay, Dad. Like, so it was me, it was Jaden, Jake, and this other guy who I don't want to dox, but we all went to see Star Wars. And throughout the movie, they kept making these lines. It was like they were talking to us. It was like, we're just like a small band of kids. We can't beat an empire. And I looked over at Jaden. I'm like, dude, that's us. That's literally us. And then Leia is like, or I forget, somebody in the movie was like, well, we blew up the Death Star and we were just kids. There's never a right time to do it. They're like, we don't know what to do. We're just a bunch of kids. And then there was another line when they, because at the end of Last Jedi, they put out that like signal to all the free worlds who were like, come help us defeat the First Order. And in the movie, they're like, we sent out a signal and nobody came. And they're like, no, the Empire wins if they make us think we're alone. But we're not alone. They will fight if we lead them. And I turned to the other guys and we're like, dude, that's like us. We as the Groyper Vanguard have to lead them. So it was sort of, I had a Reddit moment. I was like, that's us. We're just like the movie. But it would be like if it was the reverse. If like we were the First Order and they were the Resistance. You know, we are bringing order and everything. And they are the ragtag bunch of libertarians. Anyway, Charles Floyd says, what did you get on your SAT or ACT? I'm not going to tell you, but I had a good score. Pacific Loon says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1:5, they just don't get it, King. Keep shining the light. Oh, well, thanks. Alcibiades. Somebody told me that it's actually pronounced Alcibiades, or what is it? Alcibiades, he said. That's how it's pronounced. Alcibiades, he says. That's the correct pronunciation, but force habit. I think I'm all in with America First, but I'm always in transition, okay? Zach says, I'd like to start by saying thank you for your service in the Groyper War. General, second big shout out to my homie Mason. It's his birthday today. I don't know who that is, but happy birthday. Thanks. Pacific Loom says, cum, consume, comply, all based. Trad E Guy says, you truly are the voice of the Zoomers, Nick. God bless you for upholding Christian morality as the divinely galvanized backbone of dissident right political perspectives. Merry Christmas. Well, thanks. You too. ASDF says, Antifa bashes Andy Noah's head. Andy, Nick Fuentes, you said you want to establish an Aryan Reich, correct? Or maybe it's just because he's a journalist. Yeah, that's possible. Bell says, from my three-week-old son, God bless. Oh, well, thanks. Robert says, Nick, my first super chat, give me 60 seconds on Joker. No. Clever Knot says, Shapiro is cringe, should have trusted the plan. I don't know what that means. Chris says, fleeing Shapiro, yeah. Ragnarok says, Ben Shapiro forced to watch his wife get groiped. Yeah, I groiped the whole family. Princess Amunda says, S to spit on Ian Miles Chong. Yeah, S. ASDF says, Nikki Haley approaching him on a sidewalk. In my culture, this is like invading someone's privacy in the bathroom. That's funny. Ragnarok says, if Nick Fuentes can traumatize Shapiro's kids by saying hi, I wonder what getting circumcised did to them. Yeah, true. Michael Huzitz says, if Ben was a man, he'd have let his family go ahead of him and talk to you. Instead, he runs away and hides. Yeah, true. Mushrooms, has ever read Ender's Game? You're resembling Peter, first a based internet podcast, then leader of the world. No, I never read Ender's Game. I never read these young adult like novels. Callus says, don't roast me. Paleo says, I thought the pudgy Jewish person was a man. Well, there was a girl and a man. Count Groipula says, had a great time Saturday evening hanging out with you guys for a while outside SAS. Curious that the cops removed you immediately after you were attacked by that penguin woman and bald crypto-Jewish guy. Yeah, really makes a thing, doesn't it? Magnum says, you addressed the Fields-Lewandowski thing. I asked Clavin about it at UCF on November 19th. Clip is on my channel. Please watch. Yeah, I'll do that. Nice to meet you Thursday. Yeah, it was nice to meet you. Billy Mays says, Ben Shapiro before, never Trump. Ben when Trump is picking a new Supreme Court justice. Pick me, I'm a lawyer. Ben now, never Trump. Slimeball check? Yeah, good point. Canuck, Groiper says, Hanukkah starts yesterday. Type HH for Happy Hanukkah. No, let's not do that. Doomer Guy says, first super chat, Nick, also Dewey Rames greater than KJV. Oh, so true, dude. So based, man. True. Save Western Civilization says, Meghan McCain's role on TV is to be nothing but a whipping goy for half-wit boomer Winance. I think she's makeup to cover up her fetal alcohol syndrome. Okay. Venom says, love the show, Nick. So it looks like there is a marketplace of ideas, but there is no competition of ideas within that marketplace. Yeah, makes you think. Alex says, Merry Christmas, Nick. God is with you, and it shows, from a Greek Orthodox supporter. Well, thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too. Anti-Root says, I still remember how excited I was when I first heard mine were words, his were actions back in 2016, because it showed how far fake civility is. Yeah. Rather, how fake civility is. Yeah. Let's see. We've got a lot more. Okay. Elizabeth says, Elijah held you there, recognized incognito Ben from 60 feet away, and promptly alerted you to his presence. You can't tell me this wasn't coordinated. Yeah, it definitely seems like it. Let's see. Galguar says, where are the tapes, Benny? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who has them. I don't know who has them. Eric says, it isn't nice to block the doorway. It isn't nice to go to jail. There are nicer ways to do it, but the nice ways always fail. So true, Eric. So true. We can't be nice. We have to be a little bit aggressive. Paul says, why can't people see it? Shapiro hates Middle America. He hates Trump because he resembles Middle America. He supported firing Roseanne Barr for unintentionally racist jokes, then defended James Gunn for hundreds of graphic pedophile jokes. Wake up! So true. And thanks for the big super chat. NFL says, loving the America First Christmas special with little Benjamin's appearance with St. Nick. Merry Christmas. Thanks, you too. SMR says, the people stand behind you. Never forget that, King. I never will. America First Jew says, I'm the bear Jew. I tower over little Ben. You definitely did. Jane says, to be fair, the cookie analogy was someone else's super chat. You were simply reading it. Very true. Michael says, Merry Christmas. Thanks, you too. Philip says, hey, Nick, glad to see you've been rising up since LT. Please come to Serbia. Stay base and Christian King. Philip, I knew I recognized that name. Wow. Old Philip. Yeah, I was going to say, I read the name and I was wondering, is that the Philip? I don't want to dox, but back from the old high school. Yes, yes. Well, hey, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the super chats. Serbia. I may stop by there. Who knows? No immediate plans, but who knows? Maybe I'll end up there, but hey, thanks a lot. Glad to hear you're based in Christian. That's awesome to hear. Wow. Little blast from the past there. Always good to hear we got some LT Groipers hanging around. Very based. ASDF says, the Groipers have captured a command post. they sent in the supers. It's, you know, Jew Groiper. Watch those wrist rockets. Yeah, that's the old Battlefront 2 lore. Save it for the enemy. That's what the boomers are saying. The boomers see us. Friendly fire on Charlie Kirk. Save it for the enemy. That's funny. Chicken Wild Style says, Merry Christmas, Nick. I have a question for you regarding faith. Have you read the works of John Calvin, Augustine? I'm not a fan of the office of Pope being sole intercessor on behalf of us. Thoughts? I've not read Calvin, but I've read Augustine and... yeah, sorry, but the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. So I don't think the Pope is the... I don't know all the technical language, but I'm pretty sure if the priest can forgive you of sins and all that, then isn't he sort of in between in some capacity? America First Jew says, I confront corrupt congressmen, stock ops, and I'm called the coward and a jerk. No winning with the online tough guys, LMFAO. Yeah, it's just can't win. Can't win. Harold says, Nick, please tell my wife to let the boy get GTA 5. Yeah, you gotta, look, you gotta let kids watch R-rated movies, play M-rated games. Men, in particular. If your kid is like 12, you know, he can handle it. Pat Bateman says, 6'9 and 150 pounds. BMI says, you're anorexic. Eat. Yeah, well, I am eating, but you give me a hard time. I eat Big Macs and you say, that's not good for you. What am I going to eat? 300 pounds of, spinach and broccoli? No way. Billy Bob says, old skill, big DL, R to the, okay, I don't know what that means. Alex says, should prostitution be legal if it's on camera? No. Krillin says, did you see Ben on Saturday? If so, they don't drive on the Sabbath. Also, local news channels always bang on doors, sleep outside of people's homes. Yeah, true. No, it was on Friday, actually, not Saturday. America vs. Jews says, LMFAO, thanks for correcting Siri. It's Zyoclops. Okay. Anonymous tippers, a shout out from Bangor, Maine. Janet Mills sucks. Okay. Legalized ketchup says, Nick, I work at a Dunkin' Donuts. We got a complaint a while back saying we are racist and hate foreigners. Is this based? No, that's not based at all. It's not okay to be racist. Alan says, keep up the good work, big guy. You're doing God's work. Thanks. Lil Rainbow says, Merry Christmas, Nick. Enjoy the precious moments with your family. God bless. Hey, thanks, you too. Suko says, I've been struggling to get an answer for how to enforce NAP from libertarians. That alone made me realize they're goofy potheads that are never going to win. Yeah, true. Name says, seeing Ben do his best Anne Frank impression, Kino. I don't really know what that means. Legalized Ketchup says, I don't know if you've touched on this yet, but what is your opinion on the South and the Civil War? Is the South based? Cringe. I'd love to see your opinion. Keep up the good work, my man. I think the South is cringe. I like the North, and I like the South okay, but I love the North. You know, I'm glad the North won. I think it was based. So, anyway. Dan, I don't really have a super sophisticated take. I just love my land. I love the North. Dan says, cheers from Romania. Become Orthodox. No, but thanks. Night of Mirrors says, thanks for what you've been doing this year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks, you too. Name says, Merry Liberty. Wait, can you pass the Israel lobby? Okay, funny. Haha, funny moment. My name, Jeff, says, hey, Nick, what do you think about Ghost Town, or Ghost, from True Capitalist Radio on the Ghost Show? He seems to have beef with you. I don't know who that is. Herminio says, what does the Bible say about thoughts? Greetings from a white Mexican from Guadalajara. Oh, thanks. What does it say about thoughts? Says they're going to hell. Intentionally Blank says, I've been really happy with the number of manger scenes I've seen in my hometown in Indiana. It's these type of things I would miss most if my home changes. Merry Christmas and love to you all. Yeah. Crafted Gamer says, about targeting Ben's sponsors. It worked with Tucker Carlson August this year. Many advertisers dropped his shows after Media Matters targeted them. 10 to 80,000 negative emails will scare companies. Well, we're not going to generate 10 to 80,000. And anyway, Tucker Carlson is different than Ben Shapiro. You know, for obvious reasons. Ben Shapiro is Jewish, and Ben Shapiro is a neocon and a neoliberal. The New York Times writes positively about him. So it's just, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not even the same thing. It's not the same sport. Alex Ware says, got my merch. Thanks for all you're doing, and Merry Christmas. Thanks. Ron Sun says, I am Nick! Fuentes, and I have balls. Yeah, true. JR says, squeaky chair, bro. Keep it up, big guy. Thanks. Emmett says, Merry Christmas. Looking forward to the plan in 2020. Thanks, you too. Mushroom says, apply some good old Saul Alinsky. Gay. No, just, I'm not finishing it. GG says, praying my...
Saul Alinsky. I'm a boomer. I'm a boomer. I saw Saul Alinsky on Fox News.
Yeah, okay, bro. I read that book, too. JG says, praying, but yeah, Merry Christmas. JG says, paying my plan, Dow reparations, having a Merry Christmas, man. Yeah, thanks. And you owe me for doubting the plan. Steering Sideways says, truly my merch empowered me to beat Jaden and Smash. Did you beat Jaden? Well, that's good to hear, because Jaden was sweating on everybody. He cheated when he was playing against me. I fell off the map, and he didn't restart the game. And it's not really fair if you accidentally fall off. So anyway, Wetzel says, Nick, so it's good that he got owned for cheating. Wetzel says, Nick, I found the show around this time last year. Been hooked ever since. You helped me through some tough times. It's truly been an incredible year. I cannot wait to meet you at CPAC this year. Merry Christmas, dude. Well, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas to you, too. Glad to hear you are, the show's helping you. That makes me feel good. Alex Says the timid Shapiro confronted the wild by a larger predator will immediately place its mate and offspring between itself and any potential threat. Yeah. RJ says, typed Ben SH into Google and Ben Shapiro height came up 5'7". Guess you've got a lot of people Googling that tonight. Yeah, it's possible. Super Meowskers says, do you know any favorite moments from last year or from this year? Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, well, CPAC was great. Groiper Wars was great. Ashley Sinclair thing was great. The first one when we found out her internet history. Those are probably my favorites. ISU was fun. Ellie Bell says, Blonde said she thought it was no big deal. Okay, well, I don't know what she said. I only hear what people are telling me about it. Emma says, I heard the TPUSA Student Summit had live entertainment this year. A bunch of dancing Israelis. Wow, a girl with a joke. Funny joke, girl. That was really good. Chad says, this weekend was very white-pilling. All this exposure was just what Ben was trying to prevent by ignoring you. God had other plans. Merry Christmas. True. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Billy May says, to the tune of 12 Days of Christmas, on the first day of Chungmas, Big Chungus gave to me a repub on iFunny. Okay. L. Ron says, Malkin. I'm not going to read the second part because it's not respectful. Mr. Woman says, I talked to an e-girl for a couple weeks just to see what all the hype was about, and I can't believe it's actually that bad. She stopped talking to me out of nowhere and moved on to someone else. Wow. Well, that's not really the problem with e-girls. It's one of them, but I don't know. Maybe you're just not a catch. Chris Jones says, your comment to Ben Shapiro about Hamas and human shields was so based and spot on. He was terrified of you and got punked in front of his own kids. I would have never allowed you to punk me in front of my kids. LOL. Merry Christmas, brother. Well, thanks for the big super chat. We have another tough boomer. Even the people that support me are going to be tough boomers. I would have allowed you to punk me in front of my kids. Oh, okay, bro. Well, thanks a lot. Nova Core says, you deserve that e-girl reality check. Yeah, that guy did. Colton says, Merry Christmas, Nick. Longtime viewer, first-time super chatter. Oh, thanks. Merry Christmas. Take Cover says, that blonde girl didn't counter-signal you. She supported you. Cringe Super Chat is trying to start drama like teenage girls. Okay, well, then in that case, I take it back. Billy Bob says, 6 million wives. Funny, funny, funny. Nova says, amazing weekend. These suck. These just suck so hard. Nova says, amazing weekend to watch. Shaking the Hornet's Nest. Hopefully you can have an event in the West Coast sometime soon. Thanks for all you do, King. I'll get right on that just for you. John says, buy yourself a cheeseburger that isn't McDonald's. Yeah, okay. Joel says, saw a cute girl today decide to take your advice and nag her. Good. Doomer Guys says, yo, big guy, it was an epic year and a great way to end the decade. The Battle of UCLA was so surreal in the time 30 Groypers flooded that restaurant. Yeah, it was a great end to the decade. Truly momentous, climactic. Steve says, glad to see you at GLS, King. Hard to believe we fit 10,000 Groypers in one venue. After 6 hours of pure schmood, I realized maybe the real experience was the friendships we maximized along the way. Yeah, definitely a lot of truth in that. Yeah, it was great to meet you as well. It was a fun time, a fun event. We definitely maximized the experience, to say the least. Israel asks, as I accidentally streamed the Shapiro clip to the Apple TV at my Mormon in-law's house this weekend, accidental based Christmas. Oh, that's very funny. Jordan says, love you, big guy. Merry Christmas. Yeah, thanks, you too. Mr. Lennon says, thoughts on Gnostic imagery in the Vatican. You have to be more specific. Jordan says, can we not troll Abby Shapiro? She is an innocent person. I'm not really trolling her. I just, you know, used her as an example. Polish-American, you know, also, I think people that fight in wars are innocent anyway. Polish-American says, okay, not going to read that. Also, I'm innocent. Aiden says, Merry Christmas, Nick. Best of luck to all the Groypers, and remember to trust the plan. Yeah, so true. By the way, that guy's banned. Jacob says, I had a bad gut reaction when Jake Lloyd first came on with his podcast, but after GLS and that Rob Smith video, I've changed my mind. Well, good to hear it. Parker says, where are we? Parker says, hey, it's me, Elijah. I just, my bowl cut, and I'm really excited about my new bowl cut. Okay. Slavia says, Juan Natal King, thanks. Jacob says, I would say S to spit on Penny Johnson, but I bet he'd be into it. You're right. ASDF says, Merry Christmas, Nick. Emmanuel, God is with us. Yeah, you too. Alcibiades, short eye, the dude is a living most interesting guy of the ancient world. IRL troll of nations. Okay, well, thanks. Alcibiades. Okay, well, we got it. Jordan says, Israel sent missiles into Damascus, Syria, as they were celebrating Christmas on the first day of Hanukkah. Yeah, true. Timed Out says, $14. Okay. Polish American says, can you be my friend? No. Matthew says, first time super chatter. Thanks. Randy says, the good thing about cats is they eat all the rats. Super cats. I hear they've got super rats. You know how they're going to get rid of him? Super cats. Alexander says, Anthony Bourdain. Yeats, a shout-out to that fellow Maine Groiper. Janet Mills sucks. I missed Bass LePage. Merry Christmas. Thanks. You too. Hollowed says, Nick, are you a Latin Mass observer? No, I go to Novus Ordo. Timed Out says, I had a great time wearing AF merch around the family this weekend after the Ben GTFO LOL. Thanks for the buff on my attire, my guy. You're welcome. Glad you're enjoying it. Chris says, Nick, serious question. Is Tulsi Gabbard a tranny? Why would you ever vote for a non-Christian as president? I don't think Tulsi Gabbard is a tranny, and I'm going to vote for Trump, so Trump is Christian. Harris says, chilled with Jake at the party. He knows more than he lets on. Very esoteric stuff, symbology, geometry, astronomy. Absolutely great speech also. Yeah, Jake is pretty woke. He's pretty woke, and he is a great speaker, so that was good. Okay, our last Super Chat says, if we are to keep America together, we will need to pray this Christmas for a Caesar who is earnest, austere, severe, and just. Okay, cringe, LARPing chat. But, I mean, yeah, in some sense, there's some truth in that. Okay, well, that is our last Super Chat, 2.5 hours in. But who's counting, right? So that's going to do it for us on the show. Remember to check me out at NicholasJFuentes.com. Sign up for the email list there. It's right on the front page. I moved it there. So NicholasJFuentes.com, the email list. I got 2 community guideline strikes on my channel. So I don't know. Oh, that happened over this weekend. So I'm not sure how long we have left on YouTube. 2 strikes, a warning, and then a first strike. So you've got to sign up for the email list if you want to see where I'm going to be if or when I get banned from YouTube. Email list is the only way. That's NicholasJFuentes.com. Just type your email in, click send. Also follow me on Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to subscribe to this channel. Give us a big thumbs up. Leave a comment. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our Super Chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. Remember, I'll be back on Friday. Until then, have a great Christmas. Have a great Christmas Eve. Have a great week. Have lots of food. Enjoy your family. So enjoy, and we will see you on Friday.